If there's one downside to an unexpected and massive spike in success, it's that when things go back to normal, it can look worse by comparison. That quote this week applies to Nintendo, whose 2021 looks quote-unquote worse year over year because Animal Crossing, the third biggest selling game last year, has no equal for Nintendo so far this year. A completely obvious quote, and yet rarely considered when it matters. It's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to bring you everything but the numbers and a few of the numbers and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 879 of our show for this August the 8th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined remotely by my co-hosts. Say hello first and foremost to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing okay. I am. I just found a bunch of interesting usernames that I had saved, and my new favorite one is Elliot Phone Home.
Oh, and this is all like Dead by Daylight stuff, right?
Yeah, I have like a thing in my Discord that's all like the best DBD usernames, just because some people are really funny.
Yeah.
But there was a really jerk-faced Ash last night who went by Jolene, and I started singing the song on stream while I was hunting him, and I thought it was pretty funny.
My username in DBD right now is very, very clever. It's Witty DBD Name is my name. So
very, very witty, very clever.
Is that worthy of your archive?
Once I get a screenshot of it, sure.
Okay, sounds good. One day we'll go up against
each other. Just post it yourself. You're in my Discord.
True. All right. Also say hello. Welcome back this week to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. I hope you had a good week off. It was one of the kids' birthdays, right?
Yeah, it was my son Josh's birthday. So nice. We went out to a Brazilian barbecue with him.
Oh.
So we thought that would be fun.
Wait a minute. Was that a present for him or a present for you?
It's a little column A, a little column B. Yeah.
I see. All right. Well,
he wanted to go to Lazy Dog instead. And I was like, this is much better. But he had a good time.
All right. Good. All right. I'm glad he's 11 now, right?
He is. Yeah. Wow. We did his actual birthday party with his friends yesterday. So
oh my gosh, time flies. That's crazy. But he's kind of grown up to be a little gamer just like you, right? He plays a lot of like Minecraft and all that stuff. I mean, you talk about that a little bit on the show. He's doing all the
strictly Roblox.
Roblox.
It's all Roblox. Yeah.
Does he create in Roblox? Because I know he was going to those coding classes at least pre-COVID.
He went. Well, he did actually go to a summer camp not that long ago, like I think sometime in July, to learn how to make levels and worlds in Roblox. I don't think he does anything with it. He just basically plays. They play a lot of this thing called Brookhaven, which is kind of like a role play game,
mm-hmm.
but not like a traditional role play game. It's like, I'm going to pretend to be a high school student, you know, type of thing. Or, I don't know. My younger son keeps talking about it all the time. He watches this guy, OMG, I guess, who's on YouTube that there's like lore in the game about this agency or something. I don't know. So they kind of go between that, and there's this other ninja game that they play. It's kind of like it's not a clicker game per se, but it's like that setup, you know, where you grind something and then you can, you know, kind of prestige or whatever, and you get more, you know, bonuses towards earning in-game money and stuff like that.
See,
I remember Becky's son was into this Pirate 101 MMO for kids.
And that's different than Puzzle Pirates, which I think we all played at one point or another.
I actually didn't play Puzzle Pirates.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you did at one point.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I thought about it and never did, but like I am with many a game.
It's interesting though to hear how like 11-year-olds are you know exploring through things like you know the Pirate 101 or Roblox or Minecraft or whatever, because here comes Uncle Roberts. Back in my day, I don't know about you guys, but
we had Neopets and Gaia Online.
We didn't even have that shit. I'm talking about when like I was 11 and 12. We didn't have any of that shit on Commodore 64. You know what we had? We had pen and paper, and so we would draw our little dungeons on the pen and paper, complete with like the item store that you could shop at beforehand. And we would draw it. I know some of you kids did this too, that like you draw out the thing and like your little, like, here's where you start and here's the final boss, here's the pit of something and whatever. And then it's basically D&D without dice and like your own house rules. It's basically that. That's what we did without Roblox.
We used to use the study lab, though this is when I was a senior in high school.
Uh-huh.
My friend Ashley and I would make up our own RPG, and then we would just spend an hour role-playing.
Now, I will say, when I was around 13 in junior high, and I guess I would have been like 12, we did play Scorched Earth on lunch break in the science lab. Like, the science teacher loved it. He let us come in there and take over the computers, like, as long as, like, he would kind of, like, walk around and just make sure we weren't, like, looking at porn or something or, you know, whatever. But, like, when he saw that we were just nerds shooting each other with tanks, he was like, all right, these kids are fine. These kids are going to be okay. And look at me now.
Look at you.
Little did he know.
Little did he know. I'd actually love to see how that guy's doing. He was... Mr. Abe, if you're out there, give me a holler. You never know.
You know what's funny is that after I graduated high school,
hmm,
I actually, in the phone book, looked up my French teacher to wish her a pleasant Bastille Day.
You know, my one of my favorite teachers ever was one of my math teachers in junior high school. And my mom ran into her at the mall right before. It was probably about a year before my mom passed. She ran into her at the mall out in Roseville. And I guess they had like she recognized the teacher and they had a pleasant conversation. And I remember right when I graduated high school, she had had a baby, and my mom was like, she had a teenage daughter with her, and I was like, ugh. That baby grew up. Ugh.
Well, I stayed in contact with my favorite teacher after I graduated, and we were friends on Facebook and chatted for a while, and she sadly passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That's hard to hear, yeah.
But she was almost another mother to me.
Yeah.
And I bawled when I found out, but she was an absolute angel of a human being and was one of those teachers that truly cared about her students on a different level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Like, she invested. Well, it was also the gifted classes, but, you know, so she didn't have like a whole lot of us at a time,
mm-hmm,
but she really invested a lot of effort into us. And so.
Hats off to the teachers out there in the OLR crowd. Hats off to you, those of you that are out there making a difference. Thank you for what you do. Unless you're mean to the kids, but I don't think any of you are. I really don't. All right.
Unless you're my sixth grade algebra teacher, where you were kind of cool dude, but you're also kind of a dick.
Or my high school biology teacher, who's not a pleasant person. But you know what? We're not going to let one bad egg ruin the entire, you know, whatever analogy I was going for.
Although,
there. We don't let one ruin it for the 99% of the great ones.
Although Coach Milne was really cool. He was my chemistry teacher, and I'm friends with his son.
Love that.
Well, his son was also like a year behind me in school, and now he's living in Hawaii and has been on like a few TV shows.
All right, I gotta say hello to the chat. Hi guys, because we do tape, we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at VOG Network or the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. You know, I noticed earlier in chat we had a few people. YYR was saying, I really want to play Ridge Racer 6 now, and Mike Deft is saying, I just noticed the game on Loki's background. Love me some Ridge Racer. So of course, for those on the podcast, you don't see the backgrounds on the little mock Discord call we have here going on, but Loki, what made you pick Ridge Racer tonight?
So I could say it's Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer, yeah. No, I really liked Ridge Racer 6, and I'm still waiting for them to put out another one. Yeah, I know there was Ridge Racer 7. It was basically Ridge Racer 6, just on PlayStation 3. And we don't ever think about or even acknowledge Ridge Racer on the Vita. The Ridge Racer, God, I don't remember which team did that one, but there was that the one that wasn't Ridge Racer, but it was done by, I think, the, I can't remember. I have it.
There was the Ridge Racer 3DS, too.
Unleashed,
like,
or something like that. Yeah. Well, the 3DS one was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So there's the, I think, Unleashed or something like that, which was supposed to be pretty cool, with, like, a track editor and stuff like that.
Nothing is R4.
That's like, it's all right. But yeah, we need a new Ridge Racer game. Like, a Ridge Racer game on PlayStation 5 or, like, the Xbox Series X would look so amazing. Like, come on. Like, do it, Namco. Do it.
I agree. Where the hell is Ridge Racer been? Like, it's, I know it got memed a little bit, but people love that series.
That was, like, years ago. How long ago was that? That's 15 years ago from this point. Like, come on.
Heck yeah. All right. And yeah, shout out. We have a lot of people in chat tonight, it seems like. I guess the Olympics end and people show back up again. No, I love, like, great to see you guys again. And I'll acknowledge No One Special 77 is saying they're good news out of the physical rehab facility sometimes this week. That is great news. Congratulations. So glad to hear that. All right. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight and talk a little bit about a big, huge, monumental event in gaming news. And you know this is a topic that I must have picked because I want to talk about Ariana Grande. That's right.
Of course you do.
Here on this podcast about the video games, about our favorite video games, things like Dead by Daylight, Final Fantasy, Minecraft, you name it. I want to talk about who? Ariana Grande. Come on, y'all.
No, we love to see it.
Come on.
She is, even if I don't like all of her music, she is pretty awesome.
I love that Dark Soccer's just like, bitch, you don't need an excuse. Let's go.
Right. No.
All right. Why
am I... sippy in her honor.
Why am I bringing up Ariana Grande on the show tonight, y'all?
Because you have no tears left to cry.
That's right. I'm taking the positions that this is now an Ariana Grande podcast. All right. And literally nobody in chat is trying to jump in with an answer there. Although Sia Tabiri says the girl who played Penny in Hairspray Live. Yes, that is true. Sia Tabiri also says the other one from Rain on Me. Yes, good answer. Thank you. It's Flea. Ding, ding, ding. Gold star. You get a gold star for the correct answer. Because of Fortnite. Yes. Okay. So there's an Ariana Grande cross Fortnite thing going on. So you can actually...
Talked about it on the show.
We did. We talked about the skin on the show last week, yes, and how it's unfortunate that she doesn't say, yeah, every time that the pickaxe is used. But there was an upcoming concert that was scheduled in Fortnite, right? That is the news this week. I wanted to talk about that concert in Fortnite. I did not go in the actual game, but thanks to the magic of everybody streaming everything on Twitch now and YouTube and things like that, I was able to consume the content that way. And I'm going to tell you guys, it was not what I expected whatsoever. Has anybody ever gone to a concert in a video game? Like, I know Phantasy Star Online has done them a couple times. I feel like other MMOs, like maybe Warcraft even did them. I feel like I went to a Torrent Chieftain thing in Warcraft back in the day. I'm talking
back
years
in Ragnarok
ago.
We used to harass like a bard or the dancers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the mock concerts, like in that happened in EverQuest, that your Ragnarok, every game that had bard. Now it's huge in Final Fantasy 14. Yes, and usually that involves a bunch of characters up on a stage and like everybody is kind of down below just kind of role playing, right? In fact, yeah. I was actually playing 14 with Shane last night, and I was telling him about this and how I thought it was very interesting, and he was kind of like, have you ever gone to the thing in Phantasy Star Online? Because it's just they're up on a stage and you're down below. It's not that interesting. And I think that's what many people thought this was going to be in Fortnite. And I'm here
to
tell
you. That's what a lot of the other concerts that they've had there have been like that.
I'm here to tell you something changed here. I don't know if it's because of the power that Ariana Grande has, the impact, the numbers, the cultural iconery of Ariana Grande or what it is. But it was not that. In fact, I found the concert experience to be kind of an artistic experience. And it's something very interesting for video games. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. So what happened? The concert was only about 12 minutes. Obviously, I can't show it to you here because some of the audio would get into DMCA issues. And I don't even know the visuals might. But so just, and plus we're a podcast anyway. I don't want the folks listening on the podcast feed to feel left out. So I would encourage you, go look up, you know, a video of what was going on with this thing. And basically what happened, there was a whole like, It was like kind of like an experience type of thing. So it's all run in the Fortnite engine, but your characters get teleported to these scenes that kind of go with some of the different songs that are playing. Like before Ariana comes out, there's one where you're kind of like bouncing around on some different flowers, you know, in the scene or whatever. And then there's another one where you go into a mini game where you're like shooting planes and stuff like that. And you're like on the plane. And then everybody kind of like crashes, I don't know, and you have to like revive people, and that's when Ariana comes out, and she also is like kind of like revived, and she starts singing. Players are strapped into planes, and then there was a whole sequence where there was what they're calling MC Escher kind of like stairs and pillars, where she's kind of slowly walking up the stairs, and she has this big hammer, and she's singing one of her songs. She's actually singing the duet she did with Mac Miller, who passed away a few years ago, and obviously that was very, you know, tragic for her. And a lot of people saw that as a tribute to him, like she was climbing up a stairway to like heaven or something, to like, I don't know, knock on the door, or however you want to interpret that. The point is, this was a very...
She just went from Zeppelin to Dylan.
It was a very artistic thing. And, you know, if we're going to continue this conversation about video games or art, I'm here to say I'm just as shocked as anyone else, honestly, that Fortnite and Ariana Grande brought us this very artistic, kind of really neat thing this past week.
I need to find this on YouTube or something.
You really should. Yes, the Ariana Grande skin is in Fortnite, and you can go play Fortnite with that. This thing was none of that. This had nothing to do with Fortnite, except for the fact that it was running in the same engine, and therefore he had a lot of the same emotes, a lot of the same ways to move around and things like that. But it was not a, you know, 1 versus 100 type of thing. So it's really interesting. I'm curious, did anybody in chat actually check this out or see it? And did you kind of take away the same impression I did, that like this could be this is a really interesting direction for Fortnite? Because I know we've heard in the past, like within the past couple months, right? Like Fortnite, and I think a lot of this might have come with the Epic and Apple thing or whatever. We've heard a lot from Epic the past few months, but I feel like Epic has talked a lot about how they don't see themselves as a game as much as they see themselves as like a pop culture or a pop. And we were all kind of sitting here going, what? It's a fucking game. It's Fortnite. Like, don't, like, you're not taking yourself, like, just accept what you are, Fortnite. And now that I've seen this, I'm kind of like, oh, I see where they might be trying to go with this. Like, Fortnite is the canvas upon which this event was sort of drawn, honestly. So, let's see. SG100 Matt says, I didn't, and I kind of want to watch the video for it now. Yeah, check it out. It was only, like, honestly, when all said and done, it was only, like, 14 minutes start to finish. Like, it's not a long concert in the traditional sense. It really felt more like an interactive music video, quite honestly, because I don't think she was performing it live or anything like that. It really just sounded like it was the studio recordings, to be honest. Tiger Claw in chat says, Fortnite is more like a game that's a service, I think. Yeah, that's probably a big part of it as well. Let's see. Trying to see up in chat as well. Interesting. SSJ100 Matt says, Fortnite is more MTV than MTV. This is like kind of revolutionary in terms of music video type of sphere. That's what I'm saying. That's why this thing kind of took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting Ariana Grande up on a stage doing some twirls, singing, you know, maybe either a new recording or something of some of her greatest hits. And then, you know, spend $20 on my DLC. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Next. You know, that's it. But it wasn't that at all. Yeah. Let's see. And YYR, of course, is bringing up the music game related news here. Yes, Ariana Grande is also related to the music games in DDR. Ariana Grande was in DDR, except Break Free was cut from DDR last month after being in the game for 5 years. Whoops, the licensing ran out. That's no fun now that the game is mandatory to be online. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I've seen some of these music video experiences in the past, but none have been as big as this. The Chainsmokers did a PSVR experience for one of their new singles. Yeah, I saw a PSVR thing for, I think it was Utada Hikaru. They did something for Kingdom Hearts. It was like a live studio show where they were singing one of the Kingdom Hearts songs, and you could look at it in VR. And I've also seen the literal VR music videos. Like, I think it was Bjork did a VR music video, or maybe it was like a YouTube 360, like really close type of thing. So it's, yeah, there have been those experiences, but still there was this felt different than any of that. is that it really just felt like it was an entire, it kind of, you know what it actually reminds me of? I'm going to throw it way back. Do you remember on the old school computers, especially the Commodore 64? But I'm sure this was done a little bit on Apple IIe's and stuff too, but especially the Commodore 64 because of the sound chip and the particular unique sound and music that did. Do you remember the demo scene and the demos that would come out? Bobby, I know you're going to light up with this. I know that was your scene when you were younger. That's what this Ariana thing reminded me of. Is that, and those demo things would be like a song might play, and you would see it would push the graphic chips to do something on the screen, and then like maybe a different part of the song, it switches a little bit. Go look up like an old school, like Happy Holidays Commodore 64 compilation or something to see like what, you know, it's show different scenes of the holidays, what would play different, like, Christmas carols and things like that. Bobby says, really, it was about the Amiga for the demo scene. That's right. The Amiga really stepped that up even more. And Bobby points out, of course, the PC demos. Yes, that was still a thing even in the 90s. And I think that name is showing up black on black. Yes, it's Jason. Hi, it's our voiceover man, Jason, saying demo scene is still very much alive, as niche as it ever was. Honest, and I hope nobody hates me for this comment because it's actually meant to be a compliment. The Ariana Grande concert felt like a mainstream demo scene project. Honestly. It's honestly what it felt like to me. So. Jason, it might be the way things are set up on my computer. Your name is black and it's just I'm on night mode over here. So it's coming up on a black background. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Let's see. ZenMonkey11 in chat says, I go to concerts in Alt Space VR. They have holograms in there, so you see the real artist in VR in front of you, not on a screen. Zara Larsson did a Roblox mini concert. The metaverse is real, and it's here. I'm all for it. Saw the Ariana concert inside of Fortnite. I try to experience them all. It's cool. Yeah, now that I've seen this one, like, if another artist does one that I like, or even, like, kind of like... Like, for I'm kind of into Lil Nas X right now because I think I love how he's pushing people's buttons right now and the music videos and stuff.
You know, it's like Fortnite is more PlayStation Home than PlayStation Home is. You know, because
it could be
like this is like kind of, you know, you have this world that exists that you put stuff into it, like these different media pieces and stuff. Whereas if Sony were smart, they would bring back PlayStation Home, but since they haven't. You have these types of venues now where artists can, you can have different crossovers with artists and properties and all sorts of licensing.
I didn't even think about that, but you're right on that. See a Tiberian chat says, I mean, I know there were some stand-up comedians who were doing comedy shows in Animal Crossing. Well, yeah, I mean, especially because of the nature of the pandemic and Animal Crossing really hitting at the right time. I mean, the KK concerts are a staple of Animal Crossing. Now, you know, obviously...
I still miss him, though, doing his thing in the, the coffee shop, because we need the coffee shop back.
Yes, we do. You put that side by side with the Ariana thing, and it looks a little sad. But, I mean, it is what it is for that game, and it was kind of like... It warped you out of the traditional world and had that credit sequence. You know, as basic as it is, it was still something kind of interesting and different. Jason, our voiceover guy, is continuing with a comment about way back in the day. Beastie Boys did a live internet concert back in the 90s. I'm talking like real video era quality. And it was just a single camera angle with audio, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's like a streamed concert type of thing. And honestly, again, I think that's what a lot of us expected from this. But it really was different. Yeah, Loki, PlayStation's missing out from not rebooting Home, but at the same time, PlayStation's really trying to push itself as like the place you want to be playing Fortnite, even though Fortnite is available literally everywhere else except, you know, that little spat Epic has going on right now, but we're going to overlook that. It's available a variety of different places than just
PlayStation.
Most places, yes. So, SG100 Matt says, I don't think PlayStation Home had concerts, but I feel like there was a watch-along or listen-along communities. I kind of remember there was watch-alongs in the OLR house and home, but then Sony updated the game where no media could be played at home. Yeah, there was a lot of potential in home that really went unrealized. Like, I feel like just when home was kind of like finding its rhythm and where it could belong and really blossom, somebody just pulled the plug and like on like the development front and was like, no, we're not spending another dime on trying to make this better or trying to establish some of the copyright issues or things like that. Like, I really think they really yanked that. And now Fortnite, even though Fortnite doesn't really feel like home to me, but I get that comparison. I get why you're saying that. Zeba in chat says, Synth Riders. Oh, yeah, that VR game you brought up in the email has three experience songs that you are inside a VR version of the music video of the artist, much like in the background of DDR. Oh, that sounds neat. That sounds kind of interesting. It's a different way to do it. And Bonds 006 says, I would go back into home. I would absolutely give home a second chance. I'm really surprised they didn't bring it back with the VR. I thought for sure that was something they were going to do, was try to take on the VR chat Second Life type of angle. But for whatever reason, they didn't. So interesting. Yeah. As shown under Matt says, PS Home was both the butt end of jokes at its time and also way ahead of its time. There's things like that in gaming that just have one versus 100. On Xbox. I'll say that until you pull the plug on this show. That thing was way ahead of its time. Hell, even the things that preceded it and the Berkeley games online, like Acrophobia and stuff, like that was, you know, that was huge. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. Any artists that you would want to see in Fortnite with an interactive visual experience? You know, I have to ask this. What artists do you want to see in Fortnite with an interactive visual experience? I feel like I don't listen to a lot of like modern music, so I'm going back to what I said earlier, like Lil Nas X, because he's really pushing the buttons with things right now. I'd like to see somebody who's kind of known for reinventions, like maybe Madonna. I'd be very curious. If it's in Fortnite, she wouldn't need her walker. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Ugh,
I'm kidding.
Girl.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. All right. Anyway. Gaga, of course. Who wouldn't go to a Gaga concert? Even the straight people would want to see a Gaga concert in Fortnite because she's a heck of a performer. That would be really great. I like that answer. SG100 Matt says Daft Punk, but they're broken up and I feel like they did one already. Well, hell, if they ever reunited, that would be a heck of a thing to do. That's for sure. Any thoughts on a Fortnite experience, Dark Soccer or Loki?
Yeah, I have two widely different things.
Okay, go for it. So, we'll go, Jamie.
Okay Go would be interesting because they do like their seamless videos and stuff. Would be pretty interesting.
Makes sense.
And then on a completely separate side of the spectrum, Deathlok.
All right. I'm all for a Guar concert in Fortnite. Let's see that happen. Dark Sakura, how about you?
I want a Gorillaz one.
Gorillaz, of course. Oh, God, the bands that are kind of technically inclined to begin with. That makes a lot
of
sense.
Exactly, that are animated to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I kind of, you know why I say tech inclined, because there's a lot of tech that goes into the concerts and stuff like that. That's a great answer. Hatsune Miku, why not? Also.
Well, that, I think, has been done.
You're right. I think that has been done. Bobby Blackwolf says the Tupac hologram in Fortnite, which was similar.
I think that could be dangerous.
Orange Wright says a Weird Al concert. Fuck yes.
Oh, you know, fuck Weird Al would do it.
Hell yes. I love it.
Yes.
All right. Win-win. All right, let's move on. Since my co-host did not attend the concert in Fortnite, but to be fair, neither did I. I watched it. I watched a wrap-up summary just because I was curious, and everybody on social media was saying it was great. And I was like, I have to say, what was so great about it? And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting at all. So we were playing video games and too busy not to go to virtual concerts. So what kind of video games have you been playing this week? We'll start with Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
I played Dead by Daylight.
Of course you did. You played a lot of it.
I played Wordscapes. You were playing, and I beat Fantasian.
You were playing at 1 in the morning this morning, Dead by Daylight.
Well, because my stream time for – I actually go live at midnight now, after Saturday, so early Sunday. And I mean, I just play until like maybe 2:30, 3 in the morning. I had some good people in last night. I actually got a raid like right before I was about to sign off. I don't know why it happens. I'm on my last game and people raid me and it's all good. It's all good.
It always happens to me too.
But, it's like I get so I played another round that I didn't do as great in, but I made rank 13 last night, which for me is a big deal because I always feel like I completely suck at the game. But I'm pretty okay with Pig. So... I like Pig.
I think you called it. I was just going to say, you called it out on your stream when I was watching. It's the fact that you have to kind of use a trackball. I think kind of like you're not able to be as fluid as some in some motions, or at least you're working up to that still. And I think once that kind of gets a little more, I think you're only your Pig game I watched last night games actually were way improved from what I'd seen back in the when you first started.
So, I mean, I was whiffing stuff, but I was also super, super tired when I was playing. But I figured out my way of countering, you know, the upfront 360. And I don't know if you noticed that I was doing this, but I would chase, get close, and stop. Because at the point that I know that 360 is about to happen, they will just turn and run right into me because I stopped.
That's like a nurse that teleports, like they start their teleport, and then as soon as the survivor runs around, they teleport into the ground so that they don't actually move forward. It's kind of a similar thing, yeah.
I did actually get the idea from watching LC. And our everyone's favorite, you know, nurse one trick. But I got the idea watching, and then I was thinking, I can't turn that quickly with the trackball. But why don't I just stop? I've never seen anyone do that except playing nurse. So I was like, why don't I just stop?
I think because that's clever. Then, I think the more you find those workarounds that are unexpected, the more you're going to see the rewards that come from that.
Yeah, no one expects you to stop. Like, I actually got a compliment on it from a Jake player the other day. I mean, it was one of my offline games. And he was like, you're the first killer I've ever seen just stop and let me run into you. And I was like, well, I have to use a thumb track ball because I have bad wrists. We were just chatting about it. And he's like, also, are you on Microsoft Store? I'm like, no, I'm on Stadia because I play on a Mac. And so we got into a little discussion about it. And like in that match, like he was like rank 4. And we started talking about it. And he just flat out said, hey, I'm gonna borrow this idea for my killer games.
There you go.
I was like,
a trend.
Cool. Yeah. I'm glad to be of service. But and I've actually started talking through like some of my thought processes while I play and why I do the things that I do. And talking it out and getting advice from people in my chat really, I think, helped me do better. And I've also had my builds looked at by a few players that I trust. So I've gotten some really good advice, and I want to actually give a thank you to LC, to Hydro, to Nick and Prince, a few people out there who's given, Laurie Bird gave me really good advice on my builds.
Nice.
And awesome. I'm also playing Wordscapes because I'm a word nerd.
A word nerd. All right.
I am.
Loki, how was your gaming week or weeks as it is?
Well, it was all Minecraft. So it was, I don't know, it was a lot of just like kind of grinding to get stuff done. And I was doing a lot of, I was cutting some videos together. So like I did a tutorial video, I think last week, maybe it was this week. I don't know. Everything's starting to blend together. So I did a tutorial video to try to drive some more views to my channel. So I put that out and that was pretty successful because there was, it was all about timing. Because there was an episode that B-Dubs had done on Hermitcraft where he did a 2-in-1 like stone generator. And I'm like, I bet I can make that 3-in-1 stone generator because it should be pretty easy to add basalt to it. So I did. I put out a design that's based sort of like on his, not exactly the way he did it, but like a similar looking design and added that in there. So I was trying to help, you know, promote myself that way so that it's got okay views. I mean, so it, you know, it's working there. And then I'm working on my latest episode pretty soon. So in that one, I built this because we have issues on our server still with mob spawns. It's an issue with the software server runs. It's not vanilla Minecraft. It's like paper, which is like a sort of modded server. It fixes some bugs. It also introduces new bugs. And so because of that, there's a bug with mobs spawning correctly. So if I'm on the server by myself, or I'm on the server with somebody else and they're in another dimension from me, there's no mobs spawning whatsoever in my farm. So it makes it really hard to run shops on our server. And so I had to create a cash for gold store to get people to sell me gold so I can use it in my gold farm. And so that was a fun build. I made it look like a rundown, strip mall store. So that'll be my new video. And then, so it's been just a lot of that. And a lot of this week just kind of, I don't know. I don't even know what I've been working on. I think a lot of it's just been AFK in the server. Oh, and then also working on other projects for people on the server as well. So there's some other things tied with that. But I'm trying to get more on track to put out stuff on a regular basis. I mean, I have been putting out videos about once a week, but it's not my normal SMP Let's Play stuff. It's been kind of, here and there. So still trying to get that down faster, but making progress.
All right. Well, best of luck on the YouTube front. Make sure y'all are following Loki on YouTube at Loki OLR on YouTube.
Yep.
All right. My gaming week. Honestly, I've been playing mostly a lot of the same stuff I've been talking about in previous weeks on the show. Myself, I'm still, moving along in Dead by Daylight. I did a random stream on my own channel on Friday. That was fun, except Jamie, you've expressed this too. Like when the camera's on, I have all bad games. And then when the camera's off is when I have my good games. Although I had my one trick Bill game. Because I had a daily that I had to get an item and escape as Bill. Well, Bill was level one. So I ran, I was like, screw it, let's do it. I ran a game with Bill with one talent, borrowed time. And
Billiam.
I did it. I opened the exit door and escaped. That was not the item and escape. It was the exit door and escape. I opened the exit door and escaped. So and it was funny because when that happened, it was Pod Culture. Somebody started spamming that icon from your channel with the Bill with the slash through it. And I'm like, hey.
You mean the one that I'm doing right now?
Yes. In chat. So yeah, there's that. I was playing some Final Fantasy 14 last night. Yakuza Like a Dragon. I kind of hit a wall. Those of you that have played the game, I hit that 3 million yen wall. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So it slowed me down a little bit, but I am going to try to pick that up because I'm too close to finishing it and too invested in the story to not finish it. I also, just some random new stuff was showing up on Game Pass. I was like, oh, I want to play that again. So, for example, Luminous is on Game Pass now.
I love Luminous.
I know. It's so good. It's the remastered version of the original. So it has Shinin, which is one of the best songs I've ever had in that game.
You mean the best song?
Well, there was Holla Back Girl in Luminous 2. Let's not get crazy. All right. Here's the thing that pissed me off, though. You know how you have to get to level 100 to basically beat the normal mode? I got to level 94. It took me an hour to get there, and then I choked. I was so mad, but I'll just have to play it again. Katamari Damacy Reroll is also on Game Pass. I downloaded it, but I haven't played that yet, so that's all I can really say about that right now. But here's the new thing I want to talk about that I actually tried this week that is kind of interesting. So I, out of the blue, got a message on my Xbox inbox that said, you're invited to test out the xCloud service at xbox.com/play.
Cool.
So I did, and I'm giving you that URL because it's pretty easy one to remember, and maybe you have it and you don't know it. So check it out. And so I went to check it out, and it is their cloud based service. It's basically their Stadia, okay? But it's in the Xbox environment. If you have Game Pass, then you can just fire up any of the Game Pass games on there. Otherwise, you can fire up things that I think it might only be Game Pass games, but I can't remember if it's things that you own in the cloud. But it's only certain games that have the permission, which I think mostly overlaps with Game Pass. Mike Deft in chat says, welcome to the xCloud gang, Rob. I barely use it. I had to try it out. I wanted to see. So the first game I played, of course, was No Man's Sky. Because I feel like that is a good benchmark game for me. A, I've played a fucking lot of it. B, I've played it on pretty much every platform. No, I'm not. I've played it PlayStation 4, PlayStation VR, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox Series. I'm sorry, not the 360. What am I saying? The Xbox One, the Xbox Series X, Steam. I've played that game a lot of different places. I played that on the NVIDIA's thing, too. So I played it on xCloud a little bit. And it was, I would say it was fine, but I think Stadia might be a little more responsive. I think the technology might be a little bit crisper on Stadia. I don't know if it's just that they've had more time to perfect it or whatever the case is. But it wasn't bad by any means. It's just I would notice the artifacting a little more, and especially when I was turning in these heavily graphical areas, like my game save was on the anomaly, which is a pretty graphically intensive area. I could notice, like, it did seem to lag a little bit. So, but it wasn't like it didn't make the game unplayable by any means. But I think for that particular game, I would just continue to play my Xbox Series X version. Why wouldn't I? But the other game I played Doom, the 2016 reboot. And again, I did notice some of the stuff with the artifacting and maybe some of the colors weren't quite as vibrant. But I did definitely notice it was streaming 60 frames a second and it was smooth. And especially a game like that, Doom, which is very fast paced. Like it play, I actually went a little bit through the first level to kind of get a feel for it, and I was kind of like, this does play really well for like a cloud based thing. So although I would say in my evaluation, this the Stadia technology was a little bit ahead of where Xbox was at, I still think it's really exciting. It's not bad by any means, and I think where this is really going to shine is being able to test games before you spend like 80 gigs downloading them. Because, you know, that Doom reboot is like a 40 gig downloader, maybe 50, I don't know, even more. Well, why not stream a little bit? And sure, streaming is going to take up bandwidth too, but streaming for 15, 30 minutes is only going to be, it's not going to be a, like even a gig, you know, to test the game a little bit out and see what you think about it and then make a decision from there. And I think it's also great for these things where it's like, sometimes in the Xbox rewards, it's like you need to get an achievement in one of these 10 games. And I'm like, I don't want to download one of those 10 games. Now I could just do it through the cloud gaming. So I'm really excited, too, to see what happens when the cloud gaming hits the actual Xbox Series X. I think that will be very, very interesting. SG100 Matt says, I also got that invite as well. I look forward to trying it out at some point. Yeah, why not? Try it out. You got it. Especially if you have Game Pass, you just are going to have all those games already ready to try out. So why not? I have not tried it on my phone yet. It is supposed to work in Safari or Google Chrome or whatever, depending on what you got. But I just haven't tried it on my phone yet. Let's see. Jason in chat says 80 gigs. Ha! Call of Duty has already eclipsed 200. Call of Duty was not one of the games. I don't think Grand Theft Auto 5 was in the cloud.
No.
I
don't think so.
I thought
that's
I saw
too much streaming.
Yeah. Pele Hanamea says, I got two Platinums in No Man's Sky, one for PlayStation 4, and when I installed it on PlayStation 5, it gave me a second. Yeah, a lot of people are having that interesting overlap.
Is Flight Simulator on there?
No, which surprised, or at least I don't remember seeing it. I don't want to definitively say that. I didn't notice it.
I mean, that would be worth it because that download's probably huge.
Yes, it's a huge download, but I also think, see, Flight Simulator is one of those where I'm like, I think it's better if you download it because the 4K visuals are stunning. And until they can get the cloud gaming at 4K, I think it's worth the download. But that's me. YYR in chat says, OMG, Rob, you are a genius. I've been downloading extra games just to finish those damn weekly quests. Launching them via xCloud is so much smarter. Thank you, Ego Inflate. Thank you, Ego Plus Plus. You inflated Rob's ego. It's super effective. Thanks, YYR. Good luck. And Bobby says, I think... exactly. Bobby Blackwolf says, I think Flight Simulator is coming later because they're still upgrading xCloud to Xbox Series X. Right now, it's all on Xbox One. Oh, that's a... I forgot about that. Thank you. Ooh, I'm very curious to see what
happens.
Can
I get the old Flight Simulator then?
Like
just emulate that?
Old-ass one from, like, the PCs in 1988?
We'll do Flight Simulator 1. How about that? I think that can work, right?
I think I saw a skin in the store where you can do... Or maybe that's just for the little computer on the plane. I don't remember, but...
play Flight Sim and run Flight Sim in Flight Sims. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Why not? I think the crazy thing about Flight Simulator, some of the shit in the store is, why would I ever buy this? There's things where it's like, download the improved airport in whatever city in Germany for $15. What? I'm going to spend $15 on fucking airport DLC? Like, I have to be super serious about my flight sim to spend that kind of money. I'm sure there's someone out there that drops it. Hey, you spend your money on whatever you want. But for me, I was like, what the fuck? That is way too much money for something like that. SS2100 Matt says Zaku would get that DLC. I need the man to speak for himself. I don't even know if Zaku would get that DLC. That's like some of the planes for a couple extra bucks. I get that. An airport? For that much money? No. Anyway. That was my experience with xCloud. I'm looking forward to seeing how it continues. Can't wait to stream from my own Xbox, because apparently that will be a thing that's coming in the future. Very exciting. I will say Dead by Daylight was a game I almost tested, I was kind of like, if I'm going to play Dead by Daylight on my PC, why wouldn't I just play the Steam version that I already have on here? But it is there. All right.
Well, you know why I'm playing on what I am, because Steam one, yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah. If they ever, I really hope they get that crossplay working across more platforms. That would be lovely. We'll see. All right. We're going to get back into some more news, and we'll start it off with, I guess I should do some quick housekeeping. Right now, I'm confident saying this. So there will not be a show in 4 weeks. Labor Day weekend, there will not be a show. I will not be here. Right now, my agenda has me going to Dragon Con. I'm hearing rumors and rumblings that could be maybe not a thing. Even if they do not end up having Dragon Con, I am still taking a vacation. I've been working way too hard over the past year and a half. I deserve a vacation. I'm taking a vacation. I don't really want to live in the space of negativity, so I'm not going to list out my different options of what I'm going to do if there isn't a con, but I'm thinking about it, and there's lots of ideas right now, so we will see. But there will not be an OLR that week, because I'm not going to be here one way or the other. So that's that. All right. Otherwise, let's move on. We have but if there is a Dragon Con and you feel up to coming, I get it's a weird year. Let me know if you're going to be there. I have a lot of panels. It'd be great to see you. All right. Let's move on. We got a lot of news. In fact, we have this story again this week, but some important developments on the Activision Blizzard front. Loki, start us off.
Yeah, so Blizzard president J. Allen Brack is stepping down.
Good.
You know, basically, he was one of the two people that were mentioned by name in the allegations in the first place, so it makes sense that he would do that, since there's probably gonna be some stuff coming out about that. So he is stepping down. He's being replaced by Jen O'Neill and Mike Ybarra. And then also, apparently, along with all of this kind of all these statements from the company that we're hearing about how we're addressing the issues and stuff like that, but coming from the actual employees themselves and not leadership, we're hearing that it's actually not really happening the way that leadership is saying, basically saying that, there's no comment on pay transparency. You ignore our calls to end mandatory arbitration. You didn't commit to adopting inclusive recruitment and hiring practices. So all these solutions, basically, that you proposed, you're not really addressing any of them, or any of the solutions that they proposed. So it doesn't sound like change is going to be coming anytime soon. So we'll just have to see how this all plays out.
Well, for what it's worth, and I want to just start off by saying I completely agree and support that the employee demands need to be listened to and they need to be responded to, and that needs to happen. However, I think the first thing that had to happen for any of this to happen is J. Allen Brack had to go. So this was the first step. It's a step, but it's not the finish. That's not the finish or the last of this story. We all know he had to go. He knew he had to go, I guess. They don't really say if he opted into it or it doesn't really fucking matter. Honestly, he's gone. And that was the important first step. I think the selections of temporary successors is interesting, mostly because Mike was with Xbox, and I know we got a lot of PR stuff from him out of Xbox, a lot of quotes, because I always would joke because Mike Deft has a very, very similar name. And so I would always laugh like, you know, oh, Act Deft at the time, you're in the news again, you know, talking about Xbox. So it's we know that he has a familiarity certainly with the PR stuff. Jen, she comes. I think that is very interesting because she comes from Vicarious Visions, who Blizzard just acquired not that long ago. So that is very much a sign of we're willing to take this culture in a different direction because she hasn't been a part of Blizzard's culture as long. But I think that's a good thing. And obviously Vicarious Visions Absolutely. Has been doing a lot of things right. So I think it's interesting. I don't know if ultimately it will be one of them or maybe another outside party ends up coming in to lead a CEO or what, but I think it's an interesting partnership. So that's for sure. SJ 100 Matt chat says the SVP of HR also left this week, which also needed to happen. Yes, I'd heard about that as well. Yes, considering HR, all of this happened under HR's watch, absolutely mm-hmm. that individual had to go as well. So see you later. Who's next? What was her name we brought up last week? Fran Townsend? I hope I got that name right.
Oh, she needs to go.
I heard she resigned from that council. So, I don't know. That's not resigning from the company, which I think is what we would like to see. But we're seeing movement. we're seeing movement. Yeah. Thank you. Questbuster. Thank you. Frances Townsend also stepped down from the ABK Women's Network, but she's still in her executive position for now. So we'll see what happens in the coming days and
she
weeks.
She just needs to absolutely
Ooh,
go.
I didn't know that either. SG100 Matt says she deactivated her Twitter, too. Mm-hmm, well, she made some missteps
Good. Less
there,
garbage on Twitter.
So, yeah. I'm really glad, though, we are talking about, you know, we're still kind of putting, and I think for those that want to support what's happening, and I think it's very interesting that I think a lot of people have realized that, like, a boycott isn't really the path maybe for, I mean, at the end of the day, you need to do what's comfortable for you, and if a boycott's what's comfortable for you, that's fine. But I think there's a lot of people that realize there's a lot of great people at ABK that want to continue to support the, you know, those people, the majority of the people who are really great people. I think the best thing we can all do is continue to uplift these voices, our retweets, our reminders that, hey, just because J. Allen Brack took the fall for a lot of this stuff doesn't mean that it's over, because this poison was in a lot of places in the culture. And so a lot of these other things have to change so that this doesn't happen again. We have to continue to uplift that message.
Need to pump their stomach and get rid of all the bile.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. I suppose we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. I, again, don't think this is the last we're going to hear of this. This is 3 weeks in a row now, and I think this is a story we're going to hear about, honestly, every week until at least the end of the year. So we'll see where this continues to go. Anything else on that, Loki? Did we get everything?
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's good that we're talking about it with, you know, Activision and stuff, but I would hope that we'd also not forget that Ubisoft is also covering up for these types of people as well. So need to put the pressure on everybody. And hey, and EA, just because we're not talking about you right now, don't think that you're out of this either, because I'm willing to bet this culture is everywhere.
We have not forgotten.
100% fair call out. This culture is everywhere within the tech industry. And I know I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. Every company should be evaluating these sorts of things right now, especially in the tech industry. You know, this should be the wake-up call every company needs to find this poison within its culture. And as Dark Sakura said, initiate emergency procedures to get rid of the bile.
Pump the stomach.
Pump the stomach. So, yeah. Mike Deft is saying Riot. So many companies in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Absolutely. So, great call out, Loki. This is Ubisoft is not off the hook just because the spotlight's on ABK right now. And I think with a lot of these call outs and things, you know, especially if we don't see the management really deliver on these promises, I think it's going to get us closer and closer to where we all have thought the employees of the industry have needed to be for a long time now, which is a union. Or at least, and like I said in last week's show, a legal support group is kind of like the first step in that capacity. So, all right. Anyhow, SJ100 Matt says, yeah, I'm still surprised Yves at Yves Guillemot at Ubisoft still has a job. Yeah, me too, quite honestly. So, and Bonds006 says, music industry, film industry, media, all of them. Absolutely. But you know what the music industry and the film industry have, at least? Unions.
Yeah, there's that.
So, anyway, since Loki brought up EA, let's talk about EA, but it's a completely different type of topic. We're going to talk about boring financial reports, but kind of something interesting, because a lot of companies have been reporting financial results this week, and EA is certainly one of them as well. So obviously what we just talked about has not been in the news for EA, so hopefully internally they are looking at it. It certainly did not come up on their earnings call, at least to my knowledge. If they said a quick sentence or two about it, it did not cross my radar. But what they did talk about, I know of, was their financial year and how things are holding up there. So CEO Andrew Wilson of EA in the report said it was a strong start to the fiscal year with our incredible teams delivering experiences that continue to bring hundreds of millions of players together. Our expanding EA Sports portfolio, Apex Legends, Battlefield 2042, and our leading live services were set to deliver more great games and contents to players this year. What I think is interesting is when the CFO, Blake Jorgensen, started to talk a little bit about F1 2021, which was Codemasters' first release under EA, because, you know, EA bought Codemasters not that long ago, so we had kind of the first release. And this is a quote from the CFO. It's to the testament of an exceptional game development team that was able to produce the right assets, to produce the right marketing materials to help us drive this business and the teams working together. And you know what? I think we don't get enough credit for that. EA is a bunch of people who really can work well together. And we do a great job of working with other parts of our company. And when we bring in acquisitions, we work well with them. I think the poster child is Respawn. And you look at what's happened with Apex Legends. This is a team effort, and Respawn has obviously driven the amazing development of Apex, but they've partnered with us extremely well to drive what is now, it's coming up to almost $2 billion in business over 2 years. That's unheard of in our industry, and I'm not sure we get enough credit for it. Well, EA, there's a reason why you don't often get credit for acquisitions. If I may. Pandemic. Visceral Games, Maxis Software, Westwood Studios, Black Box Games, Playfish, Mythic Entertainment, Bullfrog. What do all those studios have in common? EA bought and closed them. So that is why, EA, you don't get a lot of credit when it comes to the acquisitions and things like that. In fact, people are kind of wary of you when it comes to that. That is going to be a trust that's going to take you a long time to earn back. Congratulations on the success of Apex, though. Respawn really did do a great job. Yes. Yeah, clap. Hello. Let's celebrate that. Yes, Apex is a great game. What did EA do for that? Okay, I guess they put money to advertise it a little bit more and maybe, you know, invest in it a little bit. Fine. You get a gold piece of glitter. That's the new award here. When you did something so minuscule, fine, we'll acknowledge it. Congrats, EA! You get the gold piece of glitter for your success.
You did the bare minimum. Huzzah! Thank you for doing what was expected of you.
But you know who gets the gold star? Respawn Studios.
Me.
Sure, you can have a gold star too, Doug Starka, but Respawn really gets the credit there. Because again, you know, look at the stuff that EA still owns. And I, you know, even if I want to be, you know, I would say a smart ass, but I'm really just speaking the truth when it comes to those closed studios. I would even say, look at EA's partnership with companies like BioWare. I don't think that's been a great partnership.
No, it hasn't.
Mass Effect Andromeda thinks that has not been a great partnership. In my opinion, anyway.
It's been how very
Bonds 006 in chat says, when I hear or see EA, I expect loot boxes. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's part of where some of their, but it's interesting, they didn't name Star Wars in any of that stuff in their financials, but I guess that's because it's only related to the news, you know, in the past few months and what's really done well for them, which of course you would expect, you know, with the F1 2021 and so forth. Apex, of course, is ongoing. Sure, they're going to have some announcements and some things to say there. But I just thought that that whole thing about, you know, we should be celebrated more for what we're doing with acquisitions. It's kind of like, why don't you pull over a little bit here on some of those comments, you know? Why don't you give some of these studios the space they need, such as BioWare, to really make good games when they go on sale day one, bug-free experiences? Then we'll say you're being a good partner.
Also, it's not my job to pat you on the back for doing a job. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you no credit for anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only credit I'm giving you for is all the terrible things in this industry. That's what you can get credited for, EA.
Interesting, because Bobby,
one of the worst companies in the industry.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, and that's where perception is everything. EA games for the past few years haven't had loot boxes yet. Nobody cares. I thought FIFA still had them.
No. They still do. They still totally do. They have the whole Ultimate Team stuff, which is loot boxes. So yeah, they have had them. They just haven't had them in some games, like Star Wars and trying to think of some of the other ones that they had. But yeah, the thing is, they make so much money from FIFA Ultimate Team that they don't need to put like loot boxes and everything. They still have it in Madden. And there's lots of things that they kind
doesn't
of
doesn't FIFA just kind of
away.
Pay for the rest of the company? Like
pretty much at this point. Like it's just pretty, like if it wasn't profitable for the company, I mean, you wouldn't have people farming this stuff in giant server warehouse, you know, with all these PlayStation 4s and stuff like that.
We
so,
just had that last week or the week before. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So people like, thought it was Bitcoin.
So like, I mean, obviously it's incredibly profitable for them. So, like, I'm sorry. No, you're not a little indie studio. We're not going to pat you on the back because you did a good job. And, like, honestly, like, this last Formula One game was probably developed before you even acquired Codemasters. So you get no credit for that. I'm sorry. Like, just
you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. Sterlock in chat says FIFA Ultimate Team is so bad there's a literal black market. No, I'm not joking. Yeah, the PlayStation farm we had just alluded to a little bit ago. SGO9er Matt says you get a participation award, EA,
well, even goes,
to pin on your fridge. Now take your jukebox.
It goes even farther back than that. Remember when your account got hacked because of and got stolen and people bought, you know, FIFA Ultimate Team stuff?
Do
like,
I?
It's been years. Yes, I understand that, but like this thing has been going on for a long time. Like, and these are the guys that wanted, you know, online passes and stuff like that for used games. Like, EA is just an evil company. I'm sorry, not going to ever forgive you for any of this stuff. You're an evil company, and you're always going to be an evil company. Period.
You know what, though, I'd rather these type of evils than the other evils that have been in the news. I hate to say it, but obviously, in a perfect world,
well,
we would have neither.
You know what? It's just different shades of the rainbow, okay? Of evil.
The rainbow of evil. Oof. All right, let's move on. I had an ex that I would call the rainbow of evil, but we won't go there. All right, let's move on.
And, the rainbow of evil.
Yeah, Dark Soccer, you
it's
know
who I think it is.
You know
it?
Which? Of course, you know which ex it is.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
That was a choice.
I don't want to talk about it. Moving on.
Well,
next story, Dark Sakura.
Well, something that probably comes as a surprise to nobody and has less to do with companies actually being terrible is the Intellivision Amico, the console that a lot of people have been like super excited about. Well, it's been delayed again. It was originally supposed to come out in October 2020, and then it got pushed back to April 2021, and then fall 2021. And now this email went out to those who pre-ordered, and it said that it was delayed further with the pre-orders due to arrive at the end of 2021.
I got that email.
Yeah, because you had yours pre-ordered.
I sure do.
Yeah, it says, and I'll just read a little bit of the content. The team at Intellivision has been working tirelessly to bring Amico, our family-focused entertainment system, to eager households around the world. We've grown to a strong and stable company of more than 60 passionate team members spanning three continents, representing some of the industry's best talent. All of us are extremely excited to share Amico with you. and going on. In spite of all these hurdles hampering our ability to fill all orders, we are focused and determined to deliver pre-ordered units by the end of the year. This will also allow us more time to optimize our operating system for future game development.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
So it is what it is.
It is what it is, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not mad about it. And I'm not, because it's not a problem unique to Intellivision. As a friendly reminder, can you walk into Target and buy a PlayStation 5? No.
No.
It's been almost a fucking year, and you still can't walk into Target and get a PlayStation 5. You can't get an Xbox Series X either, or an S. You can't walk into Target and buy the fucking console, which is really unheard of in video game history, almost a year out. So I think that shows you there's issues. There's problems in the supply chain going on. Nobody can get a fucking graphics card. Nobody can get a graphics card without pirating it right now. So, or I'm sorry, not pirating it.
Getting really lucky.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Like, honestly, buy a lotto ticket if you got a new graphics card because you've got some real luck right now. So, like, you can't look at this and say, like, oh, this is an Intellivision problem. No.
Mm-mm.
It's an industry problem. Did Intellivision maybe set some of their goals a little bit loftier than they should have? Perhaps. But at the same time, nobody could have predicted what was going to happen in 2020 and is still, you know, happening as of now. So, again, as much as we could all dunk on Tommy Tallarico for, you know, sometimes the way his ego comes off and all that stuff, I just don't think this is the appropriate place to do that. This is just a symptom of a larger industry problem. And that's what it is, period. Bobby Blackwolf says, look at a new car lot. Same chip shortage is affecting them. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. All the chips that go in new cars, I'm sure that's pretty crazy. DJRama S says, Rob, mid-tier graphic cards are available, but they're double retail prices in stores. A 1660 Super should not cost $379, $459 retail. Questbuster says, unless Amico has the magic ability to build their own fab plants and supply chains, they have the same problems as everyone else. Yep. Dr. Tatsuya says, exactly. Everyone loves to kick Tommy while he's down, but in this instance, I don't think they're entirely at fault here. No. There's other places, if you want to dunk on Tommy, you can do it. I think there's other things in this industry that are needing to be dunked on, and I think the fact that Tommy Tallarico hypes up his games. Look, we always have those kinds of people in the industry. Peter Molyneux was no different than this, is no different than this. And there's other people. Hello, remember No Man's Sky before it? And look, y'all, I fucking stan No Man's Sky. I love that game. But was it the game that was hyped up when it came out? We all know the answer to that, okay? So there are carnival barkers in this industry, fine. And I've said this on the show before, and this is, you know what? I respect Tommy Tallarico. I think he's a good guy. I met my spouse at Video Games Live for the first time in person. There's a lot I'm personally thankful to Tommy Tallarico for putting together and making happen. I can say that and still say, but the best business advice I would give him is that he should have more visible faces that represent the Intellivision Amico than just him. There needs to be more visible PR faces than just him. And I've said that on the show before, and I'm saying it again, because not everybody is buying what Tommy's selling. And ultimately, that's going to be what kicks the system in the butt if they're not careful. YYR says, there are some real issues with Amico that go way beyond COVID or manufacturing problems. If you look at their recent videos and internet posts, you see all kinds of red flags. In-progress videos of games that should have been done ages ago, a raucous office filled with wastes of backers' money, and of course, Tommy attacking anyone who dares to criticize them. Yeah, hence why I said there needs to be other PR people that do some of this speaking. As far as the other stuff goes, well, the time to pay the piper is going to be coming. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about something else that's getting a lot of hate mail in the industry this week. We touched on this towards the end of last week's show, but we didn't really dig into it. And this story kind of got bigger this week. And so, Loki, why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah. So this is, it seems like we were also talking about this like at the beginning of the pandemic as well, or like somewhat into the pandemic. But you know, Niantic had removed some of the Pokemon Go safety measures, despite the fact that we're having different variants of COVID-19 popping up now. So, you know, there is still the risk of transmission of these new variants as well. And so back in June, apparently they had, you know, started to roll back some of the double distance tweaks and some of the other enhancements, you know, being added to the game, despite the fact that, you know, some people might not want to leave. And also other parts of the world are having resurgences in their area. And because of that, you know, fans of the game have been kind of, you know, trying to let them know, hey, we don't think this is a good idea. And I've even started like a change.org petition that's gotten over 130,000 signatures and basically saying that they should extend this, these enhancements that they had in place right now. Especially also, you know, there's, you know, disabled players as well, that these additional enhancements that they had allowed them to actually be able to enjoy the game more. So yeah, and then of course with that, of course they fans were actually saying that they're going to start boycotting the game because of some of these issues. And
sure, boycott a free game.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can do that. I mean, but like if they make money off of people playing the game and buying the in-game purchases, so if you boycott the game, it does hurt them in the wallet. So that's all you can really do. But basically, yeah, so Niantic had announced some more legendaries from Sword and Shield that are going to be coming to Pokemon Go. And with those, they were going to be part of this Ultra Unlock thing. They had to do these challenges to unlock it between August 20th and September 1st. But apparently, they were saying that, you know, because of, you know, some of these issues and stuff, folks were just going to be kind of boycotting the game unless they, you know, come back to, you know, extending these features that they had. So they were trying to trend boycott Niantic to show their displeasure with the game. And I don't know. I haven't played Pokemon Go in a long time. So.
Pack your bags because you're not going to like the resolution they come up with. So the question is going to be how important are shinies to you? I'm not trying to be mean or rude, but I do think there is a large percentage of people that are signing these petitions and things like that. And the number one reason why they're mad and they want things reverted back is that they can no longer hump the Pokestop that was just outside of range of their house anymore for gear all day long. Or at
that
their
is
desk
absolutely
portal.
Not fair to the disabled community.
That
though,
is, but
people
I
who
did
are.
Not, I did not say everybody. I said most. Now the disabled, but as far as the disabled community go, I agree that there are issues there and things that need to be looked at. But these are things that have kind of existed for the first 4 years of the game as well. I think they did a horrible job in communicating. I said this last week as well, is that for them to say, oh, these changes are because of COVID, and then they say at the time, but we're going to keep them for the foreseeable future, which implies there's no end date, and then to revoke them when they did, and by saying, oh, well, you know, now that COVID is, even though they kind of didn't phrase it that way, but they kind of insinuated because COVID is winding down, we're going to, you know, go put back all these changes that we made. I said this last week, and I do agree with this part. Niantic did stupid with that. Like, they shouldn't have done that. But my honest, and I've said this a lot, they're going to put that 80 feet thing back. You're not going to like what they're going to do. Because I'm telling you right here, I know how this ends. They're going to put that in there, but they're going to put a cooldown on Pokestops, like more than 5 minutes. They're going to do something similar to Ingress, where maybe you can spin it 4 times, and then that's it. No more gear for like 6 hours or 12 hours. Because that's the thing that Niantic is trying to stop, are the is that I really truly believe to be the majority of people signing this petition who are just upset that they can't spin their desk portal and so forth. As far as, and again, I want to stress, as far as the disability issues, yes, I understand those concerns. That's legitimate. That's a different issue that Niantic has to look into. That's an issue that's needed to be looked into for the last 4 years. It's nothing new now. Let's see. Bonds 006 in chat says, I am split on the radius debate of the Pokestops. And that's it's other folks still. Pod Culture says, who, me? Abuse a Pokestop? Never. Look, and I'm not saying like those players are doing anything wrong or bad or what have you. I'm just...
They're just playing the game.
Yeah, they're just... I get, like, and I'm not trying to be mean. Again, I promise. I'm just giving you the reality check, right? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I kind of look at it the same way as the people who complain about No Ed and Dead by Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a function.
Mm-hmm.
If people use it, it's okay. It's a function of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't get mad about it.
And Niantic did botch the messaging on this. They absolutely botched the messaging on this. And their reply to this community thing, which I thought was very impressive that all the community sites got together and demanded they give a response. I thought Niantic's response to it was very like, yikes. But again, I just don't think you're going to like where they end up on at the end of this. But I was going to say, I don't fault the people that were, you know, like Pod Culture saying I was spinning a stop and all this stuff. Sure, I benefited from it too. Are you kidding? When I would walk around and, you know, use my Bluetooth, of course I could hit stops that were even further away. But nobody likes to be given something and then have it taken away. Nobody likes that. That's what this really boils down to. And as far as the whole, the other weird thing to me is this whole, well, number one, the fact that they're introducing Zacian and Zamzeta and all this stuff and the freaking Gen 8 Pokemon before they've even finished Gen 6 have done nothing with Gen 7. I mean, it's just weird. Like, I can understand that they could, you know, you sometimes have regions in Pokemon that are a mix of other regions. It's like this new Pokemon Legends Arceus game that's coming out is kind of like that, where it's like a mix or Snap or things like that. Like, but it's like it hasn't been in the Pokemon Go lore until now, so it feels a little weird. But I do not think this is some like them putting Gen 8 in the game suddenly. The some of the gaming media is trying to frame it like, oh, this is a response to the protests and everything going on. Is Niantic's now trying to sweeten the pot, y'all? It takes a lot longer to prep the artwork, the data, and all this. Like, this has been in the works well before they were making any of these changes. So that,
mm-hmm.
I don't buy that. And that part kind of makes me roll my eyes when I see those headlines, because I'm like, y'all don't understand, clearly. Nobody out there is playing this game that's writing about it.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, yeah, I mean, that's my take on it, take it or leave it. Am I going to stop playing the game? Probably not, but, I mean, I just use it as something to kind of, like, incentivize my walking. I don't necessarily need to spend a ton of money on the game. I don't think Niantic is really convincing me to spend money on the game outside of, you know, some of their events are pretty cool, but that's, you know, that's it. The remote passes, I guess, are kind of neat, too, but I'm able to get enough coins for that by doing the gym thing. SG100 Matt says they emphasize that the game is about exploring and walking. They use this as justification of the 40 meter spin radius thing, which I get. But doesn't the fact that remote raid passes kind of go against that exploration and walking they are calling for? No, because it makes money. And I think that's a fair call out, is that, again, why their response was not great. And having played Niantic games for a very long time and understanding that John Hankey comes from a Google Maps background, and that is very much about like being out there and exploring, especially with Street View and things like that. Like, I get, and especially when you look at that, if you look at Niantic's very first app, what was Niantic's very first app? It was not Ingress. Gotcha.
No.
A lot of people say, oh yeah, Ingress. Nope. It was,
I know it wasn't Ingress, but I don't remember what it was.
Field Tripper was their first app. And that was, I don't think they support it anymore, but that was where the very, very, very original Ingress portals came from, was this game about kind of, you know, starting that idea of these landmarks in your city to go exploring and all of that stuff. That's where that came from. So, like, I get that is Niantic's mission. And honestly, for me, it's been very successful. I've seen a lot of places I would never have gone to if it wasn't for things like Ingress. I'm going to specifically call out Ingress. Pokemon Go just kind of piggybacks on my Ingress experience, to be quite honest.
No, that's absolutely accurate.
Yeah. So that part of it, I get. But I also, at the same time, can recognize what SSJ100 Matt is saying. You can see that obvious conflict there. And I think that's what a lot of the community is starting to call out, is that, but if you pay for it, you can have this experience. And I think, you know, again, there's talk about, like, Pokestop power-ups and stuff like that that maybe could, Pod Culture in chat says, Field Tripper, a bunch of bored kids on a bus with tired adults. No, not that kind of thing. As Joan Hunter Matt says, wasn't that where the memes of being let off a cliff came from? Well, I think also I've seen those memes about the pissed off Pokemon Go player base, and it's that meme of the guys.
Those are
on
just
the
happening with MapQuest back in the day.
Well, it's the meme of those guys on the pirate ship, and they're about to die or something like that, and the one says, like, I'm an angry Pokemon Go player, and then it says Ingress player, first time. That whole thing, because Ingress has had its own share of issues over the years for sure, but I've never seen the player base quite well. We had that transition to Prime that a lot of people straight up didn't like, and a lot of people left the game as a result of it, and I'm of a minority opinion of sorts. I think sometimes Prime has made Ingress better.
I stopped playing Ingress a while ago. Prime didn't help.
Same. It took a long time to get there. But now it's made Ingress better. That first year, I can see why people were pissed off, absolutely. But now Ingress Prime has made the game better. But it just took, like, what, 3 years to get there? So. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about a different Nintendo story. I mean, technically, Pokemon Go isn't really Nintendo. It's more of like a license type of thing. But let's talk about Nintendo sales and Nintendo financials. So Nintendo has published...
Yay, money.
Their most recent quarterly report, and they have made a little less money this year. In the 3 months leading up to June 30th, they had an operating profit of 119 billion yen. That's about $1.1 billion. That's a lot of fucking money. However, it's not as much fucking money as last year when they made 1.3 billion. That's a 17.3% drop. But I think we all...
That was still Animal Crossing the other year, though.
Exactly. I was like, we can all see what was happening last year that isn't happening as much nearly this year. Lockdowns and Animal Crossing. It was the perfect storm combination last year that worked out very well for Nintendo. We don't like to look at companies profiting off the pandemic, but Nintendo didn't... That was not Nintendo's plan.
It was more profiting off people having to be home. It's less the pandemic, yeah. You know?
Well, and they didn't even know that there was going to be a shutdown the same month they released Animal Crossing.
Yes, and as I was trying to get to, that was not Nintendo's plan. Like, Nintendo didn't plan. It was just the perfect storm that happened that allowed things to get there. But yes, they have not had an Animal Crossings this year. Quite frankly, I don't think they've really had a big game yet this year. Now, I mean, some may argue that, Zelda Skyward... Sure, Mario Tennis and all that stuff. Yeah, no. But when you look at later this year, we've got WarioWare Get It Together. Zelda Skyward Sword will show up in the next rank because that was a July release. Metroid Dread is coming. Mario Party Superstars. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff to look forward to from Nintendo, and I think the financials will be different. But at the same time, if you're upset about $1.1 billion, stop that.
I'm upset about the $1.1 million that no one's giving me.
Right? I would take $1.1 right now. Every little bit
I could use a few more dollars than that.
YYR in chat says, I thought the drop would be way more, not because they're doing poorly now, but because they did so well last year. Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, the fact that they only fell 17% actually seems pretty good. Sia Tiberi in chat says, and Animal Crossing updates. Yes, the game could still use some of those as well. I'm surprised they didn't do DLC.
I think they're done with that, though.
They did one recently. I covered it last week.
Yeah, that was a tiny, tiny little bump, though. We need something major. Like that Mario thing was pretty cool, or something like that would be, you know, nice. Or the fucking cafe, like you said, some more buildings from the other iterations of the game.
It was data mined that we were supposed to have Brewster.
Yeah.
Man, if they announced that, I would be immediately back into playing.
The Gyroids, I'm surprised, was never a thing. This is weird.
Yeah. They're kind of morbid, though, if you actually know where they came from.
Yeah, but we don't have to talk about it. Sterlock in chat says, I really need to get back into Animal Crossing. I think there's a lot of people saying that, but Animal Crossing at the same time should give us something to come back to. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, here's a Nintendo franchise that I think, we can agree is fairly epic, and that's going into Metroid. So they released a trailer for Metroid Dread that brings up the Chozo. It's a pretty short little trailer. It's like, you know, 34 seconds, but it brings up the Chozo. It, you know, shows their sort of hieroglyphics looking wall art. I don't know what to call it. Like, it's very, very Egyptian like in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, in the previous Metroid games, we always had like a statue or a ghost or something written by one, or the Chozo robot, you know, that did something and you go to the abandoned ship in Super Metroid. What people aren't realizing is that there is a whole lot more lore already existing about the Chozo. And if you look into Samus, into her history, she was raised by the Chozo. And actually had some of their DNA bonded to her so that she could live on their planet. And so I'm actually hoping that we get a lot more throwback to her time with Chozo. You know, a lot more of her history with growing up among the Chozo and where they all went and what happened to them. Because, you know, they also made the Metroids. And where did that get them? I'm really looking forward to it. I've always had fascination with the Chozo in that series. And you know me, when I get into a game, I really get into the lore. So I'm really excited about it. And of course, it'll be out October 8th for Switch, and we'll find out our answers there, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, Samus is a pretty unique character. You might say she's the Chozo one.
Are you looking at how I'm staring at you right now?
No. I'm not.
You should be.
I will be deleting this episode from the archive so that that pun dies tonight.
This is me staring at you in judgment.
Just carrying on the tradition of the 23rd Magus, that's all.
All right.
You are a dad.
I guess somebody has to bring the dad jokes to this show. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Check out.
They call them dad jokes because they don't want to call them bad jokes. Womp. Ha, I did one too.
All right.
Now, that actually was pretty funny.
All right, moving on. Come on, Dad, what's the next story?
Yeah, Dad.
Well, let's talk about Duke Nukem again. So apparently the Embracer Group has bought 7 different studios, including 3D Realms. So they had purchased basically some of the publishers like Gearbox, THQ Nordic, and Deep Silver. But now they've bought 3D Realms, Ghost Ship Games, what else? Force Field, Easy Trigger, Dixie Art, and Crazy Labs. So a lot of those I don't recognize, but I mean, I definitely recognize 3D Realms. So don't know what that means necessarily in the terms of new games. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I would like to see
If they keep making Duke Nukem games at the regular rate, we'll find out in about 2030.
Yes. Well, there was like a new 3D like FPS game that was done in the Build Engine. So, you know, definitely the same technology as Duke Nukem 3D, but, you know, looked like a pretty awesome polished game.
Oh,
they had a lot
yeah.
of stuff with that.
That retro throwback game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they have some of those. I like to see more of those coming along. I mean, Duke Nukem, he's a hard character to kind of bring into this modern age of 2021. I mean, just not necessarily a character I could see a lot of folks liking nowadays. But I don't know. More games like that, though, would be fine. I guess, like, actually, now that I think of it, you know, there's some games that came from the Build era that are still kind of doing well. So maybe, who knows?
What was that game?
Duke Nukem Forever was not good.
What was that retro or that game? Now it's going to bug me. It had a disagreement with a metal band. It was very similar to some metal band.
There was that one, but there's been actually a few other ones too.
Oh,
I don't remember.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I know which one you're. I don't remember the name, but yeah, there was a couple other ones that were also using the Build Engine that looked pretty awesome. There's one I just saw recently. It's using the Doom engine, like the original Doom engine, but it's like, it doesn't look like it's running Doom anymore. I mean, they've done some tweaks to it, but there's a lot of these games I like that where they kind of take this old technology and really enhance it to with the modern visuals, but it's still, you know, the old school engines, which is kind of cool.
Or just a mod, just a really good mod, which, you
or
know,
just the, a really good mod. Yeah.
The you know, Xbox and PlayStation and all those versions of the game, like, officially support mods now. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. Gold star for you. Iron Maiden. But they changed the name to Ion Fury. Yeah, I knew it was some metal band.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
had
exactly.
A problem.
It was Iron Maiden had an issue with it, and yeah, so now it's Ion Fury. Yes, thank you, Dark Tetsuya. Gold star for you. All right, you get more than just the glitter for doing that research for me. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about a game that for some people gets a gold star, for some people not so much. It's Pokemon Unite, which. I played a little bit more of that this week, but I don't know. Like playing the game by myself isn't as fun. Like if I can hop on there with friends and stuff, it's a little more fun because we have something to talk about. But playing with randos gets kind of old to me. But as far as MOBAs go, it still is probably one of my favorite ones. I'll check it out when it's on mobile phones as well. I want to see how it plays on the phone comparatively. But Pokemon Unite just got a big update. So there is a new update that really went in there and changed some balance. And maybe that's why I'm pissed, because Eldegoss kind of got hit with the Nerf Bat and she can't heal as much as she did before. Although I guess her special attack move can do more. So I don't know. I guess there's a trade-off there. But like pretty much all the other Pokemon got some type of changes. I'd list them all off, but it was just about everybody. So that hit earlier this week. And I believe it's also bringing a spectate mode to the game, although they did not enable that at first. I can't remember if that's in there now or if that's still coming. But next month, there is plans for the mobile release, and there will be cross-platform play between, of course, the Switch and smartphones. And if you log into your Nintendo account or your PTC, that's Pokemon Trainer Club account, you can cross-save data and progress, which would probably be a good idea. I'm just curious how moving around is going to work on the mobile phones, but I guess if you just tapped on the screen where you want to go, it might work out. So interesting. Mike Deft in chat says, I'm playing it right now. Well, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're winning. Who's your main, Mike Deft? That's what I want to know. Cause I will say the one thing I did do this week. I'm like an Eldegoss main, right? I've played like 98% of my matches with Eldegoss. I bought Snorlax and try to match with Snorlax. Cause I like Snorlax as a Pokemon. And, I thought the moves would be fun. Oh boy, did I get beat. Oh boy, did I get beat. I guess I need more practice. Okay, Ninetales. I was looking at it. That's because it's Alolan Ninetales / Vulpix, right? I was looking at that one because I like the whole like freeze mechanics and stuff. Maybe I'll check that one out next. All right. Anyhow, it's time for our next segment here at Orange Lounge Radio, which I would say needs no introduction, but we actually have a special introduction.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
But as we know, in a 2021 twist, once a month we get a flag. That means fucking weird arcade game, and I believe that's what Dark Soccer's picked for us tonight, right?
Oh, believe me, we get the flag. So basically, the game that I chose, and on its own, it doesn't necessarily seem like it should be a flag until you actually see it played. The game is Final Furlong, which I have brought up many, many a time as the horsey humping game. It is a horse racing game developed by Namco. It came out in arcades in 1997. It is one of the only two games that run the Namco System 22.5 Gorgon hardware, which is a early revision of the Namco System 23 hardware. So basically in this game, you have three tracks to choose from, 6.5 furlongs, a 1 mile, and a 1.5 mile. You have different horse classifications. You have like a leader, a front runner, a mid runner, a strong finisher, and two, quote, almighty runners who like to keep their position. You sit on a saddle, as it were, and you have this thing. It doesn't really look like a horse. It's got like, well, it kind of does. But I've seen the ones where they don't exactly like look exactly. It's just so weird. They're just weird, okay? They kind of look like horses. but you have this bar you hold on to. And the thing is that if you fit on it, then you're supposed to ride it like it's a horse and, you know, move with it and everything. But I've seen people who are way too tall for this thing who just stand up and push at it. And it, people look like they're humping the horse. Just what it's just it's fucked up. We had one. I don't know if they still have it because I hadn't been there in ages. But Roseville Golfland had one.
No, they had one. I remember they had one at Country Club Lanes for a while, but that's gone, unfortunately. No,
Roseville Golfland had one that's tucked over like along the same wall as the entrance. That's where I remembered it being, and then they replaced it with Derby's Owner Club.
Long gone.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. It's years. Basically, though, it did get a rating as one of the best games overall, with the quote from Gerald Lynch for TechRadar saying, "The machine was brutal, popping you astride a giant plastic horse. You'd propel yourself forward by geeing up your steed, rocking maniacally forward and backwards to speed the beast up. Best played with two players. The marathon-like events would last so long you wouldn't be able to walk for a week." Yeah, that's what they say about humping sometimes, too. Just saying. At any rate, there actually was a sequel to Final Furlong, and that was Final Furlong 2. Aptly named.
The one we had, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that was it. And it had, like, some more options. It came out in 1999. And it also was, I want to say it also ran on... No, it ran on System 23. It ran on System 23, so it did use the upgraded system. Both of these, though, I do believe could link up to four players playing, so it was kind of neat. It was just, I mean, the thing that again, classifies this as swag for me is just how it looks when you play it.
Yeah, they look like less of them riding it, more of them choking the horse violently.
Yeah, they're doing the hump with the horse butt. They're getting their fictitious Catherine the Great on. But yeah, that's the game. Final Furlong.
All right. There it is. Let me get my earbuds back in there. Classic flag of the month, Final Furlong. And I'm sorry, I ran to the restroom, so you guys probably brought this up, but we had that one locally at a country club, right?
Yes. I also brought up the one that they had at RVGL as well.
I don't remember that one at all.
They had one for a hot minute.
Fun. All right.
Yeah, and honestly, Derby Owners Club was a much better horsey game. I'll be honest.
It was, but not quite as much fun to watch as this one.
I've injured myself on Final Furlong.
Oh. I wonder where all those Derby Owners Club games have gone.
From what I understand, the one at RVGL is still there, but I also haven't been there in like 2 years.
No, it's not. I'm pretty.
I want one.
The last time I was there, which was back in 2020, I'm pretty sure it was not there anymore. I usually walk around it because if it was there, I would totally be playing it.
So I'm gonna kick Dan's Mustang out of the garage and get a Derby Owners Club. Kidding.
That's worthy.
It'd be nice.
I swear the last time I was at a Dave and Buster's, I think the one at the Great Mall, they still had the setup for it. But granted, that was a few years ago at this point, so I haven't checked on it lately. And
that's a DMB that has gone kind of downhill ever since they got rid of the Battletech thing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was there back in the day, too.
Now, it made me nauseous as all hell, but the Battletech pods were really fun.
Well, yeah, those are the ones. Bobby's talked a lot about those on his show because they still bring them to Dragon Con every year.
I used to play that back in, I don't remember what it was called now, in the downtown plaza in Sacramento. It was like a bunch of bars.
Fuck, America Live?
America Live,
that,
yeah.
That is a throwback locally here.
That is now
an arena.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Pod Culture brings up the Star Wars pod. It's kind of not the same thing, though, because you're not as immersed.
Yeah, this is like, it's very, immersed. The
BattleTech had a very complicated system.
Yeah, but it was cool. YYR says, pretty sure all the Dave and Busters got rid of Derby Owners Club by now. Well, that's unfortunate,
that's
but at
terrible.
The same time, it probably wasn't bringing in the money, and they probably wanted to put in, you know, I don't know, whatever stupid machines make money.
I just remember the names we would name our horses.
Oh, yeah, all the silly names we would come up with.
I still have a bunch of my cards.
I haven't been to a Dave & Buster's in a long time, ever since round one was a thing. I don't think I've been to a Dave & Buster's since round one kind of started being a thing.
I went to Dave & Buster's it had to have been like in January or so because I met up with JD.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the one that's like way out closer to Daly City.
Oh, yeah, yeah, way out there. Okay. The ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's where it was already at. And so
that's
I
where Alan lived
there.
When we first started dating, was that area. So it was quite a commute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that round one here locally in Roseville still not open as far as I know, unless it just happened in the past couple weeks, but I don't think so. And it's weird because round ones have been open. I've been to the one in Concord since the pandemic. I was there just recently, a few weeks ago, before the Delta variant kicked up and all that stuff. But still, it's still like they're not shutting businesses down again. They're saying get vaccinated and wear a mask. And, you know, most businesses are staying open. I've been to round one recently, so it's weird that the one in Roseville still isn't open, but I guess maybe they really just want to wait out the quote-unquote worst of the pandemic.
They're just behind on getting it done, because there's also the movie theater that's supposed to go above it or below it.
I don't remember. Another industry that got hurt through all this pretty much.
Yeah, it was like a Cinemark or something like that. So it's... Yeah, I look every time I'm at the mall... And it's never open. I'm like, oh.
I wonder if some of these movie theaters are waiting for that. Was it a Warner Brothers deal or that whole like HBO Max thing? They'd only promised that through 2021. So I wonder if some of these are waiting for that to be done before they open theaters, new theaters again. You know, because I guess the whole like simulcast deal has been hurting some of the box office intake. Ask Scarlett Johansson what she thinks of that. And that whole thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow. Let's go ahead and travel around and check out some rapid fire news and quickly check out some other things going on in the industry. We'll start with Loki.
So Kerbal Space Program has officially announced that they're ceasing development on the first game, which I guess makes sense because they're putting out Kerbal Space Program 2. So it would have had to have stopped at some point. But keep in mind, though, they've been developing the game for 10 years. So
it's a long time.
You know, I think that they're allowed to do that. The last update was just released on August 3rd, and that was the 112.2 update, which fixed over 90 bugs in the game. So, yeah, I guess it's fine that they've stopped development on that since they got to move on at some point. And apparently Pac-Man 99 has been doing well, despite the fact that it's not, you know, the Mario game. And that has surpassed 4 million downloads on the Nintendo Switch.
That's a lot.
I attribute that to the lack of things that they're putting out as part of that Nintendo Online, since we're not getting a lot of new games. But, you know, hey, people like their Battle Royale games, and that's kind of cool. Is this going to be a temporary game as well? Because, like, I don't know.
They haven't really. I don't know. I don't think they end-dated it. I don't think they did.
The Tetris one's still around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Tetris one's still around, and it was just that Mario one, for whatever reason, they put an expiration date on it.
That's so stupid. I don't get it. Yeah. It's just dumb.
All right. Is Darksakura there? She turned off her cam, so she might... Yeah, she might have gone AFK for a second. So I'll do a quick aside before we get to her story, since she brought up Pac-Man. Alan was just at Costco, like just now, today, like before the show. And he said, you're laughing because you know where this is going, right? Were you at Costco?
I already know where this is going. No, I haven't been to Costco, but there's only one possible outcome that could this be.
So he sent me this picture on our chat app that we use oftentimes. That he saw at Costco for, I'm looking at the price here, $369. He found this, I'm holding up my phone like you guys can see it. He found this arcade 1-Up machine that is Super Pac-Man. Now, I gotta say, I love the fact that it's branded Super Pac-Man, because a lot of times these things are reskinned as, Oh, hey, Alan. Funny you should walk in here this morning. I'm talking about what you saw at Costco here. Yeah. Do you want to? Are you camera safe? Do you want to talk about? No, he doesn't want to come on and talk about it. But he sent me a picture of it, and he was like, you know, kind of not it word for word, but was kind of like, you know, you want it type of thing, basically. And here was my response. My response says, the minute we put the money down to buy that cabinet, that's when the Tron pre-orders are going to go up, and we're going to be pissed. So I actually said no.
Wait. You saw that they finally announced the stupid Simpsons arcade game, right?
Yes, I did see they finally announced the stupid Simpsons arcade game.
I don't know why they waited so long, but like...
I don't either.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and then we'll get back. I see Dark Soccer's back, so we'll get to her rapid fire stories as soon as I wrap up this story. On the arcade 1-Up machine with the Super Pac-Man. I love that it's Super Pac-Man branding. Which maybe Jamie wants to hear this. I don't know. At Costco, a $369 Super Pac-Man branded arcade 1-Up with Super Pac-Man, Pac-Man, Pac-Mania, Galaga, Galaxian, Dig Dug, and Pac-Land. So it's seven games. And those are, honestly, I love me some Super Pac-Man. I like Pac-Mania. I like Pac-Land. I love Dig Dug. So that's a pretty solid cabinet. The only problem is there's another cabinet they put out not recently that's not at, or excuse me, a little bit recently that's not at Costco, and it's the Namco Legacy machine, and that machine has all of the same games, but it's for $49. It's almost like $80 more than Costco, but it's Pac-Man, Pac-Land, Pac-Man Plus, Super Pac-Man, Pac-and-Pal, Pac-Mania, Galaxian, Galaga, Dig Dug, Dig Dug 2, Mappy, which is huge, and Rompers are in that machine.
Mappy.
So yeah, I'm like, ooh, the Dig Dug 2, even though that wasn't quite as good as the original, because it's very different, and the Mappy really make that cabinet. But I love the fact that this one is branded Super Pac-Man. Now, to answer the question in chat where somebody said, why not both? W04 said, ¿por qué no los dos? The Tron cabinet and the Super Pac-Man. Eventually, some things are in the works that I haven't talked about yet, but I will very soon, I promise. And we'll be able to have a little more space around where we live to have some more cabinets because we're making some changes. But right now, I could squeeze in one more. But, you know, again, like I said, the minute I buy the Super Pac-Man cabinet, that Tron cabinet's going to come out. And then I'll be pissed because I won't have any space for the Tron cabinet. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, wait for Tron. That's the plan. Because here's my thought. Tron could end up being a limited thing, like maybe the Burger Time thing was, and I don't know if I'll be able to get it forever. Pac-Man? You're going to be able to get Pac-Man forever. And it's not even so much Pac-Man as it is Super Pac-Man for me, but those games are always going to go hand in hand. If there's a Pac-Man cabinet, it's going to have Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Land. It's going to have the various Pac-Man games in it, for sure. So, I will wait. All right, anyhow, I won't wait anymore to get some more rapid-fire news. Dark Sakura.
Now that song is in my head, I Can't Wait by New Shoes.
Oh, I thought you were going to, the Dawson's Creek song. I don't want to wait.
No. First of all, no. Second of all, I hate that song. And third of all, no. And number four, I hate that show. So, getting into some actually interesting stuff. There's another Mario game that has come out and sold for a shitload of money. There is an unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers, again, that sold for $2 million. That topped the $1.56 million for a Super Mario 64. This particular one by the WADA scale is a 9.8 A-plus rating, which means it is in exceptional condition. And cool.
$2 million. I just don't understand why. You know, I get that this is a very specific pressing of the game. So even if you have like a Super Mario Brothers cartridge lying around, chances are this is not the two, unless you, again, are extremely lucky and have, you know, lottery luck. It's not the one that's going for $2 million. In fact, these things going for $2 million have the box instructions unopened, but it's that very specific like Sears tab top to the box. It was sold for a very limited time only at Sears. So silly.
All right. And then now Space Invaders Invincible Collection is going to be on Switch, but it's going to cost $60 on August 17th.
Too much money.
Huh?
I said too much money.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going with. Taito announced the collection. It is available for pre-order. But that's quite a bit. It has 11 different versions of Space Invaders from the original 1978 to 2018 Space Invaders Gigamax 4SE. And has a free download of the 2017 mobile release, Arkanoid vs. Space Invaders. But, I mean, it is kind of niche, you know?
Yeah, I'm with Sterlock, who says that's one expensive tab. The good news is these types of games tend to go on sale pretty quick. So wait for, like, you know, around the Black Friday time of year, and I bet you this comes way down in price.
Yeah. But, I mean, I won't be spending it for that. I mean, if I was getting a physical copy, maybe.
Yeah.
But no.
I think this is interesting. The stuff that YYR is talking about is still talking about that Mario sale, but I think this is interesting. YYR, in regards to the Mario cartridge sale, says, this is basically just one company trying to drive up the prices. I wouldn't be shocked if they sold it to themselves. Nothing about these last few weeks' record-breaking Mario game sales is legit. It did seem to come out of nowhere, didn't it? When I've always been led to believe that stadium events is supposed to be like that must-have NES game, where did this freaking, like, Super Mario Brothers original box, like, 2 million come from? I think stadium events was what, like, maybe 700,000 last time we talked about it. It is weird that this is all of a sudden, isn't it?
Mm. I don't
know. All right. Maybe I'm getting too much conspiracy theory, but I think it just, the timing is strange. Somebody else had suggested it's like pandemic driven collectible mania or something, but it's just weird. All right. What's not weird? Some new video games to play this week. Let's travel around the world and check out some releases of what's coming to a store near you. First in the US, Loki.
Yes, we have a brand new game, I Am Dead, on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Sadly, not a sequel to I Am Bread. Age of Empires 2, the definitive edition, Dawn of the Dukes on PC. We have Black Book on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Ever Forward on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Godfall finally coming to PlayStation 4. Shadowverse Champions Battle on Nintendo Switch. Foreclosed on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. That sounds exciting. Hades is going to be coming out on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And is that it for this week? Yes, it is.
Yeah, if you have Game Pass and haven't played Hades yet, highly recommend when that hits Game Pass this week. Highly recommend. All right. Looking at Japan, it's a little smaller this week. On the Nintendo Switch, we have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game, Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush Duel. Saikyo Battle Royale is out this week, and that is on April the 12th on the Nintendo Switch. As far as the PlayStation 5... nothing this week on the PlayStation 5. And going to the PlayStation 4, gosh, it's also pretty barren. A pretty non-week. I get Yu-Gi-Oh! Dominates, confirmed, this week in Japan. There's also some, like, peripherals if you're into charging stands. And new. There's some new stuff coming out. But Yu-Gi-Oh! That's it. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
For the UK, what we have is, let's see, on the 10th, we have Power Rangers Battle for the Grid Super Edition. We have Foreclosed on the 12th. On the 13th, we have Hades. Also, Paw Patrol Adventure City Cause. Shadowverse Champions Battle. Tormented Souls. And that looks like it's it for the week.
I hate to keep going back to this, but y'all are falling down the rabbit hole in chat, and I love it. SG100 Matt, again, about the collectible thing, says, there is a backlog with collectible appraisals. Services where you ship your collectible for it to be graded due to the pandemic. because of that, prices have shot up on things. Interesting. I would never have really thought of that, but I didn't even realize that was the thing you could do. But who would mail in a $2 million video game? But I guess it's possible. But I can, but I also understand, like, that is like something that's driving everything up, even if not this particular piece of merchandise went through that process. So fascinating. I guess I need to watch more Antiques Roadshow, because I have no idea how all this works when it comes to collectibles. So who knows what I have a lot of shit in my house, and who knows if any of it's worth anything. Maybe that's why I hang on to it. All right. Let's move on. A few more stories for you guys before we get to the listener roundtable. You may or may not have heard, we are taking calls again. So we'll check in on the green room a little closer to the listener roundtable in a little bit. For now, Loki.
Yeah, so apparently we're hearing some more rumors about that new PlayStation VR 2. And this is coming from a leak from a Sony developer conference. And apparently the leaker has been known to have some reliable information, so we'll go with that. And, you know, some of the things we've kind of already heard about before, you know, with, you know, the different, you know, field of view. So, like, you know, it's supposed to have a 110-degree field of view. It says up from 10 degrees from what it was before. The resolution of 2000 by 2040 pixels per eye. And apparently that is a little bit better than, say, the Oculus Quest 2. And then, you know, of course, there's going to be, you know, an OLED display on there. And, you know, of course, better lighting, you know, color with that. I want to hear more about the actual controllers, but I don't think there's anything in there about that. But yeah, so lots more. A little bit more information, kind of piggybacking on some of the earlier rumors that we heard before. But there's this whole video out now by this PSVR Without Parole YouTuber that has some of the details about that. So, I don't know. Sounds interesting. I'm excited when they finally announce all the information and kind of how that's going to work, especially backwards compatibility and stuff like that, and whether there's a new, you know, Until Dawn Rush of Blood game, because that's really going to sell it for me. But yeah, next year, I guess. We'll just have to wait until all those leaks come out.
Hopefully you can walk into Target and get a fucking PlayStation 5.
Oh, yeah. Going to have PlayStation 5 to run that on, too, I guess. That's kind of important. So
they can't figure out those chip shortages. This VR is going to meet the same fate. So
this is true, yes. But, yeah, and I'm sure I'll use it so much more than my current VR headset, which has been in a box for a year or two. I don't know.
Well, it just depends. It just depends if the games are there. That's the most important thing. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, one game I don't think will end up on PSVR 2, because I think this is more of a Microsoft thing, is PUBG. But did you guys hear the name of PUBG has officially changed this week? The new acronym is PUBG BG, because the new name of the game is PUBG Battlegrounds.
Now, like ATM machine.
Yes, it is like ATM machine. Okay, because let's think about what PUBG meant. Player Unknown Battlegrounds. So the name of the game is Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
It's redundant. A game where the that's like saying chai tea. That you're in fight against each other.
And it's
that,
ATM
that's
machine.
Like saying ATM machine.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I just said that.
Oh. I missed it.
So yes, PUBG Battlegrounds. Here's why they're doing it. So they want to expand the PUBG brand through new experiences set in the universe. So calling PUBG Battlegrounds, that is going to be representative of the Battleground game. But there is a new game coming out called PUBG New State. It's a mobile title with a futuristic setting. It is, I guess, the creators of Dead Space made a game called The Callisto Protocol, which is connected to this. I remember seeing the trailer for that at one of the.
Couldn't they just call it the Player Unknown Universe or something like that? Like, I mean, PUBG.
It is weird.
I don't know. The only way that they can really do this now is really lean into that. Like, we need to get, you know, We need to get someone saying, yo, dog, I hear you like Battlegrounds. So we put Battlegrounds in your Battlegrounds so you can Battlegrounds while you Battlegrounds. You know, they need to really lean into that now.
Bobby Blackwolf also points out part of it is that PlayerUnknown has left the industry, so they don't really want to use his name anymore. So PUBG has just kind of become a, I guess, you know.
Perhaps you should have renamed your game a long time ago.
Well, wait, I have a great idea here, because I was going to say, here's some even more exciting. Now, if you want actually something to actually be excited about when it comes to PUBG BG, here it is. There's an official collaboration coming between PUBG Battlegrounds and Blackpink, the Korean pop band.
Cool.
So, yes, there's a Blackpink collaboration bundle. There's like a new parachute and there's some other stuff as well. So, in my opinion, why don't we just make this game Blackpink Battlegrounds? Because now there's an unproblematic fave that we can all be excited about owning the franchise. So that's
so
my
the
idea.
BPBGBG.
The future of gaming. Although, is it, you know what, when it comes to the whole, like, we want to create a universe and other experiences, you know, think back to the start of the show, and, you know, we all remember a day when it was PUBG versus Fortnite, and, you know, look at what we spent, I can't believe we talked for 15 minutes at the top of the show, if not more, about Fortnite, but we sure did, because it deserved it. It did something that kind of necessitated the discussion. And, you know what, if PUBG is going to be mixing it up with different types of events and stuff, I mean, I don't think Blackpink is doing a concert. I think this is just some branded, you know, costumes and stuff for the store. But I for one welcome our BPBGBG game. YYR in chat says Blackpink versus Ariana Grande. We can only hope. That is the only way we can solve the Fortnite.
Blackpink worked with Cardi B.
That's
and a few other yes. American artists.
Yes. And you know what? Let's not pit the women against each other. Let's be fans of all the games. How about that? All right.
How about women uplifting women, right?
That's right. That's right. All right. WUWBGBG. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, I lost my place for a moment. Anyway, R-Type Final 3 has been announced, and it's a free update to R-Type Final 2. Like, are they just like, do they call them final the way that graphic designers call their projects final?
Or Cher calls her tour final?
We all know that Cher has had so much surgery, she's practically immortal. Either that or she's just going to have Chad Michaels fill in for her. For the rest of her shows.
Why not?
But anyway, Granzella, the developer, is putting out the update. There's on the Kickstarter's page for R-Type Final 2. They're saying that there's going to be more DLC, more ships. And over the rest of the summer, there's going to be some improvements to the PC version. And finally, by the end of the year, R-Type Final 3. It'll be a free upgrade for those who already own R-Type Final 2. And that it's only Japanese only, but there will be English subtitles later on. So, yeah, at least they can count to three. Valve.
Orange Wright in chat says, I played through R-Type Final 2. Good game. Well, now you'll have Final 3 to play through as well. Exciting.
I love R-Type. But nothing is ever the first level music for the first R-Type.
The hits keep coming in chat in regards to the PUBG BG story. YYR in chat says, you're listening to OLR radio. Okay. Let's have a chat. Do not refer to this show ever as OLR radio. I don't want to speak for Dark Sakura, but I have a pretty good feeling that if you do call this show OLR radio, if you look in the mirror and say OLR radio three times, Dark Sakura will reach out to the email and slap you silly. So don't do that. Am I right, Dark Sakura?
No, it will happen.
And then Bobby Blackwolf says, gosh. Rob Roberts, hey, watch it.
So I hate to bring things down,
but
I just found out that an actress I really like died.
Oh, the Marquee Post story.
Yeah. I love Night Court. Okay.
No, Night Court was great. That is sad. I had no idea. Yeah. She was, in bad health, but I guess she had been battling cancer for a little bit because she was still acting for quite some time. She was the mom in Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she done other stuff here and there. So,
yeah. Yeah, I actually saw John Larroquette's post about it. I don't mean to bring things down, but oh my goodness.
No, it's fine. Well, it's also sad that like we've lost several people from Night Court just in the past few years, it feels like.
Harry Anderson died in 2018 and Charlie Robinson died this year as well. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I thought we just lost somebody else from that show not that long ago. So anyway, that's all right. Sometimes
now I have a Night Court marathon.
Sometimes the news breaks during the show. I mean, even though that technically was overnight, but that's right. Sometimes we don't find out about them until we just hit that right tweet.
Yeah.
All right. Loki, I feel like we alluded to this already in the show, but why don't you make it official?
Yeah. So apparently Grand Theft Auto 5 is leaving Xbox Game Pass. It's not been on there for very long. But yes, there's going to be some other games coming as well, though. At least in the early part of this month, we've got Katamari Damacy Reroll, as you mentioned. Skate and Skate 3 were put on there as well. This week, Art of Rally, and of course, Hades. And then the stuff leaving, aside from Grand Theft Auto, we have Darksiders Genesis, Final Fantasy VII, and Don't Starve and Train Sim World 2020. So
yeah, a lot of games leaving, but they've gotten a lot of, like I just said, like Luminous and Katamari were added recently. So
let's be honest, if you haven't played Grand Theft Auto 5 in the 10 years it's been out, I mean, like,
true.
Okay, it's not been,
even
it's not
I
been
played a little bit
yet,
of Grand Theft Auto
like,
5 finally.
It hasn't been out for 10 years, but it's been out close. It's a long time.
It's almost eligible for Classic Game of the Week.
It is almost eligible for Classic Game of the Week, and we don't even have Grand Theft Auto 6 yet, so what is going on?
All right.
Rockstar Games.
Well, a game that absolutely should be, and by the way, if you want to call into OLR, we're almost to that point of the show, so headed to the green room if you want to call into OLR. I see somebody in the public chat, but I'm not sure if that is just left over because that was the same person that called into Bobby's show, so I'm not sure if that's where they just kind of ended up after the show. But head over to the green room if you want to be in tonight's OLR. While we wait for that, heading to this story, which now this is a classic game of the week. I'm almost positive this had to have been the classic game of the week at some point. If not, Darksiders, we need to remedy that at some point. But this game is absolutely something that's worthy of a classic and one that I wish would come back. And I'm talking about Marvel versus Capcom 2. Is a game that a lot of fans this week have just, like, it seems like it's a very viral thing on Twitter. Oh, it has been done?
Episode 789, according to our wiki, whenever that was.
Wow.
I'm not going to say it's because of our show, but I mean, I did have it as my background video a couple weeks ago, so I just, want to take full credit for that.
And everybody, look at tonight's...
Going to take you for a ride.
Look at tonight's episode number, 879. And Dark Soccer just said this was the classic game on 789. Is that a coincidence? There are no coincidences.
Conspiracy, Rob.
Anyway,
Marvel versus Capcom was 388.
Well, for some reason, the credit for this particular recent charge to get this game re-released is a content creator, Maximilian Dude. I don't know the name myself, but they must be more popular than us. They began a hashtag campaign called Free MVC2, which apparently got a lot more steam than President Cat did. But sorry, one sec, guys. I just had an earpiece fall out. That was extremely graceful. All right. So this
hashtag, he's grace. He'll drop his earbuds in your face.
Again, and I'm just sitting here lamenting, how are there all these people more popular than us while I'm a big klutz live on air? All right. There's a free MVC2 hashtag to try to get support among folks who want to see this crossover head out. Now, these types of campaigns happen once in a while. What makes this notable? A similar thing to what made the President Cat thing notable back in the day, and that is the developer responded. Remember that? Remember when the developer responded to us during the President Cat thing? And I'm sure they were like, what the fuck? But that's not what they said on Twitter.
It's not the same as Capcom responding, so it's fine.
Yes. So in this case, the studio head of Digital Eclipse, Mike Mika, actually said on Twitter, we made what I think was the last MVC2 release on console when we were known as Backbone. Let's see, 16x9 and so forth. I love the outpouring. We'd swap in GGPO and do documentary and museum work. We'd need to talk to Disney and Capcom to make it real. We're game if they are. Hashtag free MVC2. And oh yeah, Disney is a player now because Disney owns Marvel. So that would be very interesting. So yeah. And of course, folks note that Digital Eclipse has worked a lot with this type of stuff. They did the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. They also have worked with Disney, the Disney Afternoon Collection, and so forth. There was a PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 port of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and that was pulled from online stores in 2013 because of the license that expired for the comic book characters. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this can actually happen, though. I would love that. I can stand behind this, that's for sure. But some folks are saying, you know, again, we don't, you know, if you could re-release it, we don't have to shell out $100 for a copy, you know, that was on the Dreamcast or whatever, or pirate it, which is what a lot of people are doing, I think, at this point. So, interesting. Dr. Tsuya says GGPO is the online thing. I believe some of Capcom's older re-releases use it, like I think D&D did. Yeah, they're probably talking about updating some of that online stuff. So, yeah, I would love that. And Questbuster filling me in because I'm very uncool and I don't know all the content creators, telling me that Maximilian Dude is a massive fighting game aficionado and he breaks down info to make it appealing to people that may have never played a fighting game before. All right, well, props to him. This crossed our desk, so, and, you know, obviously we don't catch everything, so congrats, that's great. DJ Rama S says, I prefer Capcom versus SNK 2 over Marvel versus Capcom 2, to which I say, why not both?
Everyone's entitled to a wrong opinion.
Why not both? Let's have both in one release. I think that would be great. All right. Anyway, I don't even get, talk about talking on fighting games to a level of people that don't usually get into fighting games. I don't get into fighting games a lot, but that is one that I love and I would instantly buy if it was re-released and, you know, not buggy or things like that. So that's for sure. Some folks in chat, Bobby Blackwell says Tatsunoko versus Capcom. Well, that'd be pretty cool. And DJ Roma S says rival schools. Hell yeah to that. That's
now we
sure.
need... Shiritsu Justice Daigakuen, as in the college years.
All right. We're going to go to the listener roundtable, and we're going to take some calls here on Orange Lounge Radio. We just recently brought this feature back, and so it's still a little bit of an experiment in progress. But if you want to give us a call, head on over to the green room. Keep in mind, I could pull you in here at any time, so just be ready for that. That's the one thing. I've lost from before is the ability for people to hear when I've picked up the line and then acknowledge them. They can't hear that anymore. They're just, boop, they're on air. So we'll see how that goes. And we're going to take this call right now and see how it goes. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
Hey, ActDeft, it is great to see
Hi.
You. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Aside some of the things... we're probably going to talk about, but yeah, I'm doing good.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, basically, I do want to talk about the Niantic and Pokemon Go fallout.
All right, have a great week. We'll see you next time. No, I'm just kidding. what is your you love Pokemon Go? You play it a lot. What's your take on this whole thing?
Yeah, basically, as you'll well probably know, I I do like a lot. What is Pokemon, and especially Pokemon Go. I talk about it probably every week. If you see me on Twitter, I post a lot about it, either getting shinies, getting like perfect IV Pokemon, playing Go Battle League, all that
me
stuff.
Me ugly begging you to join a remote raid.
Sometimes, yeah. Or open gifts, or stuff like that. But yeah. But basically, I just want to add a little bit to at least a little bit more of context to what's happening right now.
And
obviously you all talked about the COVID bonuses and all that, and especially the distance thing, which it is actually really useful. And like Dark Sakura mentioned too, it helps a lot of disabled people. I personally know some of the in the community that actually benefited because of that, because they are disabled or they don't have like easy access to some of the Pokestops. So it actually helps them. And at the end of the day, it helps us all. But aside that, it's pretty much, and you've already said it, it's the handling of all the things. It's like, yeah, they responded. They said they're listening or they're hearing us. But at the same time, the next day when the part two of the Ultra Unlock starts, and right now you can get Heracross from Raids. It's just a regional. It's a regional that it's all available in some places of Florida and most of Latin America. Not where I live, because I live way too up north of Mexico, but still, it's like, okay, it should be available in the wild. It should be, for those who live in those regions, it should be accessible for them. And what did Niantic went and do? They took out the wild spawn of Heracross. They took it out pretty much out of the game, and the only way you can get anywhere what is a Heracross, it's only through raids. You only get one raid per day, at least one free pass per day, and you have to go to the gym. So for anyone that, I live in Central Mexico, I live in South America, whatever. A lot of people were excited. They're excited because, we're gonna get a regional shiny. And Niantic doing that, and especially after what they did the day before, it's what is driving most people like really, really out of the game. And the point of all this is communication. If Niantic were to communicate better what their plans are, if they actually like consider what the community wants and likes about the game, we wouldn't have these problems. It's like, and I was one to defend Niantic in the past, and there's evidence of that too. I'm not gonna hide it. But it got to the point, and especially this week, that Niantic is pretty much like, at least they're showing us that they don't care. They don't care about us. They don't care about the player base. They're only caring about getting the money. Yep. So in my case, yeah, I'm going to play the game because, like I said, the game is about the community. The game is about us. We made the game, basically. But I'm not going to spend any money on it, like at all. No remote passes, no premium passes, no incense, nothing that is gonna come from my pocket. If I get like Pokecoins, that stuff, it's gonna come from the gyms, if I remember to do so.
You know, but I was just saying, sorry, but I'm glad you brought up the Heracross thing, because you're right, I'd forgotten about that, and part of that is probably just because I'm spoiled, because I don't live in that area where the Heracross usually spawns, so I forgot that this was a thing. Now, if I remember right, Niantic, and again, and let me finish my thought here, because I do think Niantic made a boo-boo on this, but if I remember right, there was a tech issue where if they had kept Niantic, or if they kept Heracross in the wild, it would have that same shiny rate that was increased for the gyms. So I think they increased it to like 1 in 64 in the gyms ends up being a shiny, and if they did that in the wild, it would put too many of the shiny Heracrosses or whatever in the wild. And so I think they're going to put it back after the gyms are done, but it would be at that normal shiny rate of like 1 in 512 or something like that. Now, that all being said, and I've explained the system limitation, there's a very common line we've started to use on this show a lot. In fact, it's not maybe the golden rule of gaming where a system is only as good as the games that are on it, but maybe it's the silver rule of gaming culture, and that is it's not the facts, it's what's perceived. And the fact is, if the tech system is broken, Niantic, and the tech system is preventing you from having the thing in spawn in raids at the same time as in the world, then fix the fucking tech. That's the problem, because what's being perceived by folks like Mike Deft and many people around is just that you're being shit greedy is what's happening. And so the tech side of that badly needs to be fixed, quite honestly. Can I tell you a weird anecdote, though? And it honestly has nothing to do with this, but it was weird to me. So you know that before all this COVID shit started, I was in that part of the world, right? I went to Miami to take a cruise to some of the Caribbean, which is in that same, you know, latitude area that, like, the parts of Mexico where Heracross spawns in is. And I caught lots of regionals. I caught Corsola. I caught the cactus thing that is in that area in Florida as well.
Maractus.
Maractus was the big one, because that was the one that when I brought back, like, all the big Pokemon players were in this area were like, can I please trade you for a Maractus? Because that's the one you couldn't get anywhere else. And they're all gone now. That's the one Pokemon, like, all of them went that I caught. Anyway. Carnivine, that's the one I was trying to think of. That's
Carnivine,
that part of the
world.
So I got all this. I didn't catch a single Heracross that entire time. Just a weird anecdote that has nothing to do with this. So when I was hearing about this, I was like, well, Heracross didn't fucking spawn anyway. Like, because I was like, I didn't catch them when I was down there. But apparently that is very much just like, apparently they spawn everywhere. And it might just depend on the time. Like, maybe I just was there at a weird time. The only way I had a Heracross was from our pal JD, because he was playing Pokemon Go at the time, and he went to Florida on a family trip, and he caught one and traded it to me. So I had a Heracross before this, but now I'm like, well, I want a pink one. But yeah, of course, I'm not affected by the whole it. But another Pokemon that spawns in Raid right now is Kangaskhan, right? And yeah. I'm hearing that Australia, which is and New Zealand, which is the region, or no, does New Zealand have it, or they have just Relicanth, right?
I think they have Kangaskhan on New Zealand too, and obviously Australia. It's okay. Like the Oceanic.
But either way, there. I'm hearing that they did not pull the Kangaskhan wild spawns in Australia. So that is just, again, just a weird fucking perception too. Like, okay, but the Kangaskhans are just going to be everywhere and shiny, but the Heracross can't. So I mean, I get it. I get why people are like, dude, you guys suck.
and that's not only that, there's precedent of them unlocking regional shinies before and keeping them in the wild. It's not necessarily that they need to boost, or they want to keep it like fair, quote unquote, for everyone. It's like there's nothing that should prevent them or like stop them to releasing Heracross in the shiny in the wild. Because again, there's already a precedent. We already have like Tauros, as you said, Kangaskhan, Farfetch, and Mr. Mime, which are regionals on some place of the world. And when those were really shiny, they were still spawning on the wild. I actually remember getting a wild Tauros during that event in particular and getting the shiny. Because it was in the wild. It was not only in X, it was in the wild, and it was, I think, full odds. It was full odds. So even like something like Heracross, and I understand what you're saying, it's like understandable, but at the same time, they didn't do that before.
Yeah.
So doing this right now is like baffling. And so many people are actually angry. They're not putting anything in the game. Many have had it too.
Well, and
but again,
I was just to say, it is interesting sometimes to see where the player base will break and say, you know what? And I'm talking in mass, where the player base breaks off and says, you know what? Fuck this, I'm out. Because another game I'm thinking of that recently had this happen is World of Warcraft. And this was happening before any of the Activision Blizzard stuff of the past few weeks. So let's try to. Now, as I'm saying this, that is not part of that. It is now for some people, certainly. But at the time, people were still breaking off of World of Warcraft in mass. And it just seemed like the weirdest from me, who broke off of World of Warcraft 8 years ago. I was like, now you're leaving World of Warcraft? Like, because they did something with Sylvanas that was like, I'm like, the story of the last few expansions has been pretty mad. This is just weird that, like, now you're leaving? Okay. But now it's like with Pokemon Go. It's like Heracross, that's the thing that sets you off? Okay, interesting. Yeah. But I don't mean that in a negative or condescending way. It's just, it's interesting to me what sets off the player base in mass sometimes.
I, think not only the Heracross thing, but it's like the snowball getting bigger and bigger. And again, coming after Niantic's like really, really bad response. I don't want to go way further into my words, but it was a really bad response. And even I, and when they put out the response, they posted it, I was, at least they responded, they did something better than nothing. But after seeing the Heracross thing, it's like, yeah, I cannot justify them anymore. It's like, I'm done with them. But again, it's like, and I was talking earlier this on GFF Cast, that I do not feel the time sync fallacy or whatever it's called, because I have so many good memories of the game, and I have met so many awesome people through Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. It's like I have found so many communities, even like on Twitch. It's like there's so many good stuff I have from the game that I have gotten from it, and doesn't necessarily in the game. So yeah, I'll still play Pokemon Go. I'll do go Battle League. I'll do raids whenever I can, when I do have like free passes, all that stuff. But again, I'm not like really in the mood to put any money into it. SJ100 Mad saying the community days, the $1 thing. It's like, yeah, I'm not gonna buy that. Yeah, I always buy it, even if it sucks. But now it's like, I'm not gonna buy it at all. Yep. So yeah, it's like, it's a really easy fix. It's not necessarily talking about the game. It's like Niantic just communicating to us, like being a little bit more transparent. If they're like, and again, it's returning to the Heracross thing. If they had said, "Oh, Heracross is only gonna appear in raids," at least we would know. It's like, okay, we understand. Okay, it's whatever. We'll wait if you are in the region and all that stuff. But like being so secretive for something like that, it's like, no, that's not how we play.
Let me ask this question before we wrap it all up, because we're going to play the hypothetical world where, and I love this hypothetical world, because the hypothetical world where Rob is right. So let's play in this hypothetical world where Rob is right, that what I said ends up happening, that the 80 meters comes back, but you're going to burn out Pokestops after four spins for a 4-hour period. I don't know, was something like that. So let's say they kind of do like a halfway type of thing. Is that going to bring you back into the fold, or have we gone past the point of no return at this point?
It's like, even if they actually do a radius thing, if you say it's like it's going to be done, like, oh, a burnout after first spins, like they do in Ingress. It's the same on Ingress. If they do that the same as Ingress, it's like, okay, it's a compromise. But I still need to see more from them. It's like, we still have so many problems in the game. Go Battle League, the lag, the bugs, all that stuff. It's like still present in the game.
Yeah.
So many, many stuff in terms of cash grabbing, like the raids, like the eggs. There are so many things that need to be addressed, at least. That until they do that, I will invest in the game again.
Fair
but
response.
But until then, yeah, that's like no go. Even if they do that, it's like, no, we have to at least keep a little bit of pressure into address at least them addressing all of that.
You know what's
and
really
fixing
interesting?
The game.
And I totally forgot to bring this up during my gaming week, but I'll bring it up now. On Wednesday night, I actually went to an Ingress meetup, and it was an official Ingress meetup because, you know, there's a whole kind of separate team and group that's working on that. And maybe you've even heard of this, Deft, as some of it's probably, you know, crosses over and some stuff like, oh, well, look what they're doing over on this side. They have that whole van tour, or the XM detection van, which is a whole thing of the Ingress lore. So they have this van traveling around right now. It was just in Portland yesterday, and I think it's in Boise on Tuesday. and it was just here in SAC on Wednesday. So I actually went downtown, and there was about 75 people there, because, you know, Ingress doesn't have quite the fan base that Pokemon Go does, but it has its own loyal fan base, right? And you know, they did their welcome and everything. Part of, I think, why they're doing this is they're actually kind of introducing like their new community manager for like Ingress at Niantic, who's done a good job so far, I would say. She had a really nice write up about the event, and she was really like engaging with people and, you know, so forth. I thought she did a very good job with the event overall. But I thought what was interesting is that when she was being introduced by the other guy, he was like, you know, and, you know, let her know all your feedback that you have on Ingress and, you know, all the other Niantic stuff, too. If you have feedback on Pokemon Go or Harry, and you could just see her eyes kind of went like, shut up. Don't. No. I don't want to talk about the game. Because that was
considering the cure. Well, it was. She was, at least. But she quit on Friday.
Yeah.
But the community manager for Pokemon Go actually quit.
Yeah, I heard that. Not the same person, just to be clear. But yes, I heard that whole thing as well. It's very interesting. But I just a funny anecdote, your story kind of, or your comment reminded me to tell about the whole like taking feedback. Like, she's still kind of like, you know, smiling like, sure, I'll hear what you have to say. Because luckily, it's only 75 people. And most of them care primarily about Ingress, right? But there's a hell of a lot of overlap. There were plenty of people wearing Pokemon Go shirts. And I certainly have my little Pokeball, because we do what I call dual wielding. We're playing Ingress on our phone, and we're Bluetooth catching on the Pokeball. We're dual wielding the games. So there's a lot of us that do play both. So it's just, I thought that was interesting how she kind of was like, I've opened, because that was the same day as that letter, I think. So I think she was very much like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't have my bullet points.
They probably knew if it was Wednesday and the letter thing was Thursday, but they probably knew, because the letter was made by influencers who worked with Niantic on Pokemon Go.
It was brewing. It was definitely like, you knew like people were pissed. So anyway. Mike Deft, the rebranded Act Deft, Mike Deft, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I do want to see if we can get to some other calls, but thank you so much. If you speak Spanish, you really owe it to yourself to check out the GFM cast. If you don't speak Spanish, you still support them in other ways. But Mike Deft, it's always a pleasure to have you here. I'm glad we can have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You take care, my friend.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. I think we have another call. So we're going to – oops. I tried to drag Deft out of the chat, and I ended up dragging the studio out of the chat.
Oh.
Whoops.
For the record, Rob, we don't have any emails.
Oh, yes. I was going to acknowledge there are no emails tonight, because you mentioned that before the show. Participate@orangelawntrader.com if you'd like to send us an email. Please, let's have some of those in a future week. All right, that's okay. We're still working the bugs out here as we're getting back into taking phone calls here on OLR. But we do have another person on the line. I'd like to get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
It's Sterlock.
Hey, Sterlock, it is good to hear from you. So I have a funny feeling, because I know you called into Bobby's show tonight. I have a feeling we might hear a similar topic, but that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay. This is a good thing for people to know about. So tell us, what would you like to talk about tonight?
So it all started with some Reddit thread. A couple weeks ago, I posted a thread on Reddit asking if, Hearthstone could be modded to be accessible. And I got
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure our listeners who don't already know, because you've called into the show before, but admittedly, in this COVID age, we haven't been taking a lot of phone calls for a bit. So I just want to make sure those that don't know that you are a blind gamer, and you've often called into the show kind of talking about games that have like awesome accessibility, things like The Last of Us Part 2 and so forth, and games with not so great accessibility, because I think these are good things for us to sort of keep in mind, is that, hey, there's lots of people out there that would like to play games but sometimes can't, and so this is with you and Hearthstone. So sorry, I just want to make sure people have that background.
Yep, no problem. And you know, the thread got quite a bit of traction, and a lot of people are like, oh, that would actually be really cool. And then, you know, there were some people that were interested and you know, thoughtful, but a lot of people were just like, I don't know how this could be done. And some people were even like, well, this might be against Blizzard TOS, you know, to add keyboard support. I can tell you that that's not a going to be a concern for reasons I'll get into later. But so that, you know, that thread goes on for like a day, day and a half, and kind of fizzles out because, you know, Reddit. And I didn't really, you know, think anything of it. It's like, oh, you know, it would have been cool if something came of it. But then I got a couple people added me on Reddit, like, look at this. And turns out somebody had already been working behind the scenes in secret for, I guess, months, like completely independent of my thread, to make Hearthstone accessible to blind people.
Nice.
And it's, you know, it's pretty basic right now. I mean, it works very, very well. Like, battling works flawlessly. What is lacking currently is selecting other modes and deck editing and things like that. But he wants to keep working on it. And
yeah.
So basically what this does is it interfaces with your screen reader, and you have a lot of keyboard shortcuts to get to various parts of the field. And sorry, I think I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. That. You're fine. I want to make sure you get your piece out, because I think it's important for people to know, like, you know, kind of like how this makes the experience accessible for you.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to kind of with the terms of service and the TOS, that whole thing, I think the last thing Blizzard needs right now is a case on their hands where they shut down a mod that is making a game more accessible. That is not the PR story Blizzard needs right now. So, like, this will be in the clear.
Yeah, this will be absolutely
fine. Yeah.
Well, plus, there is a known Blizzard developer named Nikki Crenshaw. Who frequents a friend of mine, Super Blind Man. He's a blind streamer. He streamed this on Friday when it came out, and she happened to tune in and saw this, and she was just over the moon. And apparently she showed it around to the office, and people are just like, oh my gosh, this is insane. So,
well, that's
Blizzard knows now.
That's good, because especially if she was, you know, one person is one person, but if she was showing other people in the office, now that's a conversation, and that might lead to the whole, well, how did this guy do it? Maybe we should do this. And Blizzard does have a track record, and from having covered World of Warcraft for years and years, Blizzard, at least the old Blizzard, but I don't see why, you know, there's a lot of great people at Blizzard still.
There's still really good people at Blizzard, even if some of the execs are crappy people.
Exactly. And
that's why I don't feel bad about playing this and supporting, because there's also rumors that Diablo 2 is going to be accessible, so...
You can absolutely do both. But I was going to say,
WoW
did have that track record of, if a mod was really popular, they, like, Deadly Boss Mods was like almost like a must-have mod for raid boss encounters. They ended up like incorporating some of that into the main game. So they do look at the mods out there, and the stuff that's really popular, they do have a tendency to kind of... So that could bode very well for this. But let me... Yeah, before,
We're hoping that, like, they decide. I don't know if they're going to, but it would be awesome if you know, Blizzard, you know, gets a hold of them and like, hey, let's talk.
Let's talk about how this works.
Contract you out.
Let me ask you this though, before you know, because we do have to wrap things up here pretty soon. But I want to make sure I get your opinion. You know, accessibility issues aside, now that you've had the chance to play Hearthstone, how do you like Hearthstone as a game?
So good. It's so good. I just unlocked all the classes, and still working on getting the initial levels, you know, up to 10 to get the core cards. And I actually played a couple online matches, even though, so you can't, I'm not going to get into specifics, but there's a way with your screen reader, even though it's not supported in the mod itself to get there accessibly, there's a way to do it where you can get to online matches. So I've actually played a few online matches, and so I'm kind of working on clawing my way out of Apprentice, which is the basically like the newbie ranks.
Yeah.
And you get more cards by completing that. So,
you know, if nothing else, I hope Blizzard doesn't just hear about the I'm so happy it's accessible, but I hope Blizzard hears that enthusiasm when you said it's so good. I hope that is what's heard, where it's like, hey, by implementing something like this officially, you can make a lot of people say what you just said about Hearthstone.
Absolutely.
And I think that should be the most exciting.
And it's getting, it is getting, like, it's spread around now. Like, a lot of the blind community is playing it and is super excited about it. So, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to deck building and pack opening, because those are things that are not currently accessible yet, but hopefully soon.
All right. Well, Sturlock, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show, but thank you. I appreciate the update and what's going on there. I think that's good stuff for people to know about. And keep us posted on future efforts for more games to get those sorts of features. I'd love to hear your take on them.
Definitely.
All right.
Yep.
Take care, my friend.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And with that, I think we are going to, if I can find the right shot there. There we go. We're going to get into a few more segments here, and then we're going to wrap up here. Let me get to last-minute stories, Loki. I don't know if you have anything tonight, but do you have any last-minute stories?
I did have one thing. So there was a deal that happened this week between Trey Parker and Matt Stone with Viacom CBS
regarding
South Park. So they're going to be bringing, like, 14 movies, several seasons, and a video game in the works, apparently. So we're getting another South Park video game at some point. So that's pretty awesome.
I'm not surprised. Those games have done pretty well. But it is interesting. How is it that these animated series are on forever? Like, South Simpsons has been on forever. South Park, forever. Yeah. Family Guy feels like it's been on forever. Futurama's got to be getting close. Is that show still on? I think
that's been canceled.
Oh, has it? Oh, I feel like I'm still seeing it all the time. So, okay, all right. But still, I feel like wow, there's a lot of animated shows that go on for a very long time. But you know why this one's interesting? Because when I first read it, and, you know, insert whatever joke you want about South Park being relevant and all this stuff. Look, it's just I just want to talk about the deal itself. The whole fact that they've commissioned 14 movies, you know, that whole thing is just a workaround, right? Because HBO Max through Comedy Central has the right to South Park. Or no, because Comedy Central is part of Viacom, but HBO Max somehow has the deal for one way or another. This is Paramount Plus or Viacom leveraging their arm to get content for Paramount Plus. So the shows are going to be on HBO Max at least for a couple more years, and now Paramount Plus is getting its own original content as well. That's the part I think is fascinating about the deal, how they kind of strong-armed their own content for Paramount Plus, because, yo, Drag Race All-Stars Season 6 is going to be over in a few more weeks, whenever they finish their game within a game. So it's time for new original content, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, for sure. All right, one other thing, and yes, thank you. I'm glad you brought this up, SSJ 100 Matt, because I saw your post in our Discord about it over at vognetwork.com/Discord, if you want to join our Discord and chat with us throughout the week. SSJ 100 Matt says, thoughts on the Cookie Clicker remaster. And yes, that is they are remastering Cookie Clicker and bringing it back. I don't know how to feel about it. I would rather see a Clicker Heroes remaster, because the sequel wasn't that good. The sequel wasn't as good as the first one. So that's what it is. Pixel Pacas just put Rob in all caps. I can't help it.
Rob. 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 Rob.
All right.
I can bring that back, you know.
What's that?
I could bring that back.
You could. Let's see. There was a question from No One Special 77 earlier before we started in the phone calls. Here we go. And I thought this was worth addressing real quick here. In the spirit of the flag this week, I'll ask this. What's the weirdest game you personally have played? And he didn't specify arcade, so we've been talking about the weird arcade games through Dark Sakura segment. Maybe the weird console games that you've played. What's the weirdest console game you've played?
Well, the weirdest game I've played in the arcade isn't all that weird, but probably Prop Cycle.
I love Prop Cycle.
I love it. It's not. It's just an unusual game. It's not bad. Yeah. It's just fun.
I'll go one step further and say the Prop Cycle Addams Family.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say
what?
The Prop Cycle Addams Family
stop
table.
Stop stealing a potential idea.
Well, you said it first. You stole it from me.
So they have a Prop Cycle Addams Family game?
Like you have to run the prop cycle to power the machine, isn't it like that?
Oh, that. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like an actual prop cycle game where you like fly around through like the Addams Family house or something like that. I was like, that sounds really cool. Why haven't I seen that? But no, that's different.
Okay, I'll talk about something not in the arcade. You know what was a weird game? Nintendogs. That game was a little weird. I mean, it was cute. I'm not saying it wasn't cute. I'm just saying it was a
little
weird.
Puppy petting sim.
And they didn't really take it as far as they should have, in my opinion. I'm surprised we never really got a true... I know there was the Nintendogs plus cats for the 3DS, but I'm surprised we never got, like, a proper Switch sequel. And we just had all the knockoff stuff instead. You know what else was...
Kinectimals.
You know what else?
Are you not impressed by Kinectimals?
Here's another weird game. The Cooking Mama game that mined Bitcoin. That's a weird game. Although that wasn't true, but in my brain, my headcanon is it was true. Cooking Mama mined Bitcoin.
What about things like Scribblenauts?
Oh, that's a good one. Scribblenauts is good.
There's a lot of Scribblenauts games, man. There's all very strange.
Oh, Magic Pen Gel. That game
was
fucking legend at the apartment that Loki and I used to live in. Absolutely.
Time to penis. Game.
All right.
I mean, and let's not even start about Nobi Nobi Boy, which I played a lot of.
Or Magic Ribbon.
So Nobi Nobi Boy, man, I rock those shirts. I have two Nobi Nobi Boy shirts, and I rock those every day.
Nice. Fact, I agree with Sterlock. Tulip was an interesting game.
Yeah.
There was also that Dream Simulator game that came out that I played very briefly. It was called, like, LSD or something.
Oh, yeah, sort of remember
that.
What was that infamous TurboGrafx-16 game with the muscle men?
Choaniki?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. All right.
It's everything on the awful block.
All right. We gotta wrap things up here. I want to thank you guys for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio and supporting us again this week. Thank you so much for downloading our show or listening to us live, however you participated with the show. All we ask, please tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here to get out on the air, especially now that we're getting more of you to call out on the phone call segments before. Like that last call we heard about the additional accessibility through a mod for Hearthstone. That we only hear about things like that thanks to our community. So please tell a friend and help us spread the word about our show.
Rob.
Yes?
W aforementioned C-Man and I agree.
Oh, that's a good one. What was I going to say? Our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Please join it. Chat with us throughout the week. Appreciate that. We would also, if you don't have to, but if you feel so inclined to give a little coin, vognetwork.com/shop. You know, Loki was just talking about picking up two Nobi Nobi Boy shirts. I just bought two shirts on the shop this week because with Dragon Con on the horizon, I wanted them for that. Or if you know, I'll just have them to have them, if nothing else. I bought two Dark Sakura made shirts. I bought the Vogue Network spray painty logo looking thing, and I bought that Sega E Orange Lounge Radio thing. So I have two shirts of those. I have a baseball jersey of each. So,
well, I'm glad that you enjoy them.
Yes. Well, I haven't gotten them yet, but I'll wear one on the next show once they get here. I don't think they've shipped yet either, which is weird, but I'm trying not to read too much into that. So, vognetwork.com/shop if you want to do that. And, auto host on Twitch, hosting of the channel for Vogue Network goes an awful long way. Also, we really appreciate the support on our personal endeavors. Loki has his YouTube channel over at Loki_OLR. Loki OLR. Sorry. Dark Sakura has her Twitch channel, which is Dark Sakura
underscore
OLR. Okay, that's where I get mixed up. _OLR, which you can follow on Twitch. I am also here on Twitch at Rob Roberts. We appreciate that. So I think that's it. We're going to get to final thoughts, and I will start. Dark Sakura, I should start with you.
I would love if people hang out with me tonight and let me know if you like any of the designs that I've made on the Orange Lounge shop. I plan on making more.
Excellent. All right. And Loki, we'll go to you. Your final thought.
I'm hopefully going to be putting out some more videos soon.
Can't wait to see them.
Those. Yeah.
All right. And then my final thought is the last bandage came off of my neck today from the surgery a couple weeks ago. And I'm happy to say, and I'm turning around for the camera here on Twitch, I'm happy to say it looks pretty fucking normal back there. There's just a very thin red line. You probably can't even see it on the camera at this point. There's just a very thin red line and probably what's going to be a pretty bitchin' scar. But it's really not much going on back there. So that's pretty exciting. And in three more days, I can get in a pool again and submerge in water. So there's that. All right. That's it. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And we'll see you in 7 days to do it all over again. Happy gaming. Be nice to people online. Be nice to people in general. Have a good week, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.